I don't know. You look like you were humping something.
Riding the pony, baby.
All right. Well, we can ride the pony now because we're ready to start. You want to start us off?
Tonight on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, we're back. We're not black. And we're staying safe. We're talking how WWE is an essential business now. We're talking about Ronda Rousey pissing off all the bitches. We're talking about the Revival. We're talking about fucking Remco's that Kevin has on his porch. We're talking about Tony Z looking like $1 million. We're talking about the Shining Wizards Cup 2020. We're talking about the NXT Cruiserweight Championship, Brown Robin nonsense.
Whoa.
All that now happening on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And you're tuned in. You're listening. You're safe. You're home. You're happy. You're with the Wizards, your friends.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on RantiumRadio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at ShiningWizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.ShiningWizards.com. Shop at Amazon at Amazon.ShiningWizards.com and become a patron at Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
This is Notorious 187, the Brooklyn Bruiser, repping the 718 Homicide, and you're listening to the Shiny Wizard.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa! God damn!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
Welcome, everyone, to a live coronavirus edition of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, live on the Rant, RantiumRadio.com, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
Oh, brother. Tony.
Matt.
KJG.
Thought we lost you there again, pal.
I'm giving it an extra second just in case. You never know.
Yeah, this is true. This is true. So what's going on, fellas? How you guys been doing? How was your Easters? Happy Easter to everyone.
My Easter?
Yeah, it was Easter yesterday. Yeah.
You mean Sunday?
Yeah. You guys don't celebrate the Easter Bunny and shit? For real? No chocolates? No Easter eggs?
Nothing. None of that.
You didn't hide anything in your hiney holes?
No.
I got some fudge in mine if you guys want.
No, my wife talking about hiney holes, though, Tony. She happened to just be walking past me the other night as I was opening that wonderful text message you sent us where the man's balls came out of his own butthole. So I had that going for me. So that was an interesting conversation I had to have with my wife.
I had to watch that three times to figure out what exactly was happening. And I was like, oh, look at that.
Was that in the group? Because I didn't see that.
Oh, it was there. You just refuse to click on anything that Matt and I send you anymore.
Yeah. You're 100% right.
You know what? He's smartening up.
Yeah, but he misses out on the good stuff. I only send the good stuff.
There's no way he missed the picture of the shit I took that I sent, though.
No, I definitely saw that, too. I'm sure he did, too. Yeah, look at his...
No, didn't see it.
He's so full of shit.
I didn't see it.
It was in a group text during WrestleMania.
I didn't see it.
I literally stood up and took a picture of the shit that I'd just taken.
No, and you didn't even wipe yet. Like, you were, like, fucking, like, mid-whatever.
I wasn't done.
You weren't done? You stood up and you weren't done yet? Yeah. That's a risky move.
Of course it is.
I have, like, I have a... repetition
switch.
No, I go through when I come home. I do the same thing. I go to the potty, and then right for the potty, I just get in the shower. I clean up, but if there was any any extra dingleberries floating around. Ugh. We take care of that right in the shower right after. So there's no issues there. I don't want to sound like a complete animal. And to those that listen, you'll be happy to know I didn't shit my pants. So
that's a good thing. I heard you had a little bit of a fear on Wednesday night. Something happened that you didn't tell us about?
Wednesday night.
Wednesday, the joke of the AEW after show seemed to be that you didn't shit your pants. So I was wondering if it came closer. There was some sort of issue that you had.
If you listened live on the rant, that
I
you
did
heard
for the first 15 minutes.
First 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Where I was, they praised me and they said it's good to hear that I'm not shitting my pants and I'm being a responsible adult. And then 10, 15 minutes into the episode, I realized I wasn't recording the episode. It was all just shot to shit there. But I summed it up nicely and we continued. And I am now drinking straight Jack.
Well, oh, boy. Oh, no.
So you will be shitting your pants later.
No, I should be okay. I took two of these little airplane bottle gimmicks.
Where'd you get those?
I have like everyone. Anytime I have like a gathering or something good happens in my life, people just give me Jack. I have like tons of Jack Daniels downstairs.
But who's the cheapo that's getting you the airplane bottles and not stepping up for the real deal?
I think it was part of like. I think it was part of like a gift basket. Like it was like one big bottle of Jack and then like 10 airplane bottles.
Or yeah, like I've seen the one that has like the variety pack, like the three of them, like the Gentleman Jack, the Jack Fire, and the regular Jack. So it could have been that too.
Yeah, but I got it all down there. So I decided, I realized last night I was out of adult beverages and I should have stopped today because I had to take my wife to pick up her car from the shop, and I should have stopped on the way home to get some booze, but I did not. I stayed safe, so now I'm just drinking straight Jack, so I am not responsible for whatever comes out of my mouth in the next 2 hours.
You don't have anything to mix it with? Like, you don't have any Coke or Pepsi in the house?
No.
Wow.
No, I don't keep those products in my house.
Wow.
What about ginger ale? Nothing?
No. I have no soda. I'm not a big soda guy.
Club soda? Sparkling water?
We have like one of those machines that makes the sparkling water, but I'm good. I'm good with the straight Jack.
We're just looking out for you, man, and the audience. The
audience will be fine. There's a lot to talk about. I didn't think there was going to be a lot to talk about this week. There's a lot of wrestling to talk about.
Yeah, for Christ's sakes, your intro went on for like 5 minutes.
There's a lot going on, man. Let's talk about the big.
Hold on. Could I just say how surprised I was when you mentioned the cruiserweight title tournament in your intro?
Yep. Not at all, man. There's not a lot of news, so I got to make sure we cover it all.
I'm surprised you knew about that.
And to NXT's credit, it's a stacked field.
Oh, yeah, baby.
They are taking a book out of New Japan Pro Wrestling in the round robin style, though, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah, I noticed that. But plus, that's going to stretch out the tournament a lot longer anyway.
For them. Well, now that WWE is an essential business, they can just go about doing their shit.
What do you think it cost them to get that designation? Like, is this we're going to come back for WrestleMania, we might not come back anymore? Like, what do you think the deal was?
You really want to know what I think?
Yeah, of course. That's what I'm asking.
I think it has to do with Linda McMahon and the Trump presidency and them giving a shitload of money to Florida.
Yeah, but they were giving a shitload of money to everybody with the pandemic going on. I don't think Florida, unless they're giving them a little bit more of a bonus, but I would think it's more like, you know, they realize that how much money it brings in every year, not just, you know, for that area, but, you know, even all the theme parks, all the restaurants, like everything, you know? So I would think, like, you know, if Vince is like, well, maybe you give me a little this, and then we keep coming back for WrestleMania, or maybe Vince is like, well, they screwed us over when we really needed them, so now maybe WrestleMania goes to California more often, you know?
Yeah, but who really got screwed over? No one got screwed over in this thing. There's nothing you could do about it.
Yeah, but Vince also has, from what I was reading, his live TV deals mean that they have to provide like 47 or 48 weeks of live programming. So doing a lot of the tape stuff, I don't know how many they've actually aired that have been taped, but if that is the case, they've got to be coming up on their limit of tape programming already. So, you know, like they kind of had a push for, you know, for contractual purposes to get this going. Like, I don't know what the deals are, if there's any sort of, like, you know, acts of God or, you know, something like we're going through, if it affects that. But,
you know, maybe Vince doesn't want to take any chances considering he's eating his balls on the fact that the XFL just filed for bankruptcy, but we'll get to that later. Not a good year for the Vin K, man, you know?
I mean,
not a good year for anybody.
Yeah.
True.
No, Kevin's absolutely right. At least, look, there's definitely some kind of weird politics going on here for them to be deemed an essential business.
Always, dude. Always.
Well, then why did they put the kibosh on UFC in California then?
Because the governor and the governor put the kibosh on it.
Then why would it be any different if the governor wanted to put the kibosh?
Because the governor didn't. The governor of Florida said the WWE is an essential business today. Yeah. Like, hours ago.
Yeah. And plus, not only that, but with California.
California.
ESPN is in with Disney, and it's all sort of part of, like, the UFC umbrella because UFC is part of ESPN.
Right.
You know, so it pretty much came down to where Disney actually made the call to ESPN, and ESPN made the call to Dana White and said, listen, you got to shut this down. There's nothing we can do.
No, the governor of California or an assemblyman of California made the call to Disney and told them to shut it down.
Yeah, who called ESPN, who called Dana White, and Dana White said, F all y'all, I'm making Fight Island or whatever fucking crazy cockamamie shit he's trying to do.
It was supposed to be on like some tribal casino reservation or something like that. Where the laws, while they apply, they can't be stepped on as liberally as other people's.
But that's the other thing too, because that's the point that was missing when they were looking at going to on a reservation. That was also in California, but then you know California also has you know this relationship with Disney with Anaheim too. So if you piss off the governor, maybe they're not going to look the other way when it comes to some stuff that Disney wants to do. And you know Disney fucking you know needs all the money in the world, so they're going to be like, "Yo, tell them to fucking knock it off." And that's what happened. Different situation, but I completely understand where Disney's coming from. You know what I'm saying? They got a theme park there. They're not going to fuck with the governor if he's shutting it down.
I just don't understand it. Like, why are you going to, and I don't care what anybody says, you're risking people's health, the safety of your employees, and you could run whatever nonsense you want to run. Oh, they have a choice. They don't, though. It's the wrestling business. It's WWE. If your name's not Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar, The Undertaker, Goldberg, you say, oh, I don't want to be there. They say, oh, no problem. And then your spot's fucking gone. And whether you want to believe it or not, it's the truth because that's the way Vince does business. So dude, these guys don't have a choice. He should have just taken the time that he had and just recorded 5 weeks of SmackDown and Raw and used their tape library and kept people safe at home. And if you could bring everybody out in another 6 weeks and do it again, do that. I think it's all one of those things where in years there's going to be documentaries on the WWE Network and be like, we sacrificed our well-being to make for the fans. You didn't. It's a fucking ego thing for Vince McMahon. I guarantee you it's an ego thing. So I don't care. I just think for the safety and the well-being of the people involved, you can't. This is like fucking Dana White. You can't have fucking Fight Island because you're risking people's health. And it's not like there's a distance thing. Like, it's pro wrestling. It's MMA. You're sitting. You're all over each other. There's no way to stop it. And you could take as many temperatures as you want, but it could be in your body for fucking 14 days before you even get a temperature, a fever for cowbell. Oh.
You could take as many temperatures as you want. I never thought I'd see the day where I would hear that phrase.
Fired up, baby.
I know. I could tell. I can absolutely tell.
I think it's fucking stupid and it's crooked bullshit politics in the state of Florida. And you know what happens in Florida? All sorts of crazy shit. People fuck horses. People fucking break into each other's houses. They fuck each other with knives. All sorts of weird shit.
Really? I didn't hear that one.
Put in your birthday and Florida and see what pops up.
Yeah, I remember that.
I'm trying to see, like, you mentioned something about horses, and I'm trying to see if Mr. Hands happened in Florida, but I think that was out in California, wasn't it?
Beats the shit out of me. And I know they were going to do a taped SmackDown, and they waited till the last possible minute to decide to do as close to live as possible.
Whatever floats their boat, I guess. I don't know. I mean, I don't.
But
I don't.
Fucks everything up.
I don't.
Right?
I
you
don't,
can't bring Walter over. You can't bring Devlin over. Kyle O'Reilly can't wrestle because he's got diabetes, so he's high risk. You can't bring in Roman Reigns. You can't bring anyone from California in because they're not letting people leave the state, which fucks Impact up because they're going to go ahead with their pay-per-view, and Tessa's from California. You've seen it in AEW. They don't bring any of the people from California or New York out. What are we doing here, people? Come on. I want my wrestling too, but... Jesus, I will settle for this goofy fucking 25 years of Triple H that they're going to show in 2 weeks over.
Oh, that's going to be absolute dog shit on top of everything. That's ridiculous.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. What is this?
He's throwing himself a birthday party next week on SmackDown. Come on, you're corporate Kevin. You should know this shit. Didn't you have to go out and buy the cake?
Listen, I haven't been at work in 3 weeks. What do you want me to do? Yeah, I'm not essential to WWE at this point right now.
Boo.
Actually, I'm too essential. That's why they need me to stay healthy.
April 24th, Kev, 25 years of Triple H. They're going to show his,
Will they show Terror Rising and Jean-Paul Levesque?
I hope so. They don't have a list here of what they're going to show, but the show is specifically 25 years of the Trips.
Oh, I'm down. Baby. Sign me up.
Are they going to show his historical match against the Ultimate Warrior?
They have to. It's part of the story. The curtain call, how he had to wrestle in hog pen matches, how he ate shit and he liked it, and then he got his title win over The Rock.
Maivia.
Come on, man. That's part of the story. You can't ignore history. It is WWE. Never mind.
Yeah, I don't give a shit. The only takeaway that I saw that was going to be pretty interesting was Bray Wyatt did his Firefly Funhouse on SmackDown, asking Bray to let him in. He said he's coming back for his title. And then Bray flipped the script on him, and he's like, you know what? I'm down. Maybe I'll let you in. And he kind of, like, laughed at him, and he's like, goodbye. And, like, Bray looked at him all pissed off. I mean, I was entertained.
Are you not? So you're looking at, what, Bray and Braun?
Yep.
What's that, the WWE title?
The Universal title.
And then what are they lining up with the old Drewski?
He hasn't been on TV yet. Tonight will be his first time on TV, I think, since Brock took him out after that first Mania, I think.
Well, you know, he did have to defend the title 20 minutes after he won it from Brock against the Big Show, which absolutely made no fucking sense whatsoever, but WWE.
Hey, content.
It was just stupid. Like, I caught the end of Raw, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm like, this was after WrestleMania? And, like, they were even showing the WrestleMania hashtags and everything. I was like, nah. I'm like, why? Why would they even have to say that? Why couldn't they just, like, show that, like, as part of Raw the next night and make, like, it was, like, actually, like, Raw and not WrestleMania? It was so stupid.
Maybe they wanted to amplify the fact that we're not in normal situations right now. So what's more abnormal than fighting in a match. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Yokozuna did it. Hogan.
Yeah, but I get it in a roundabout way. They're trying to make Claymore look more devastating than what he actually is, and like try to beef him up. But there really was no need for it. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, but then again, that was the same pay per view. That wasn't the next night on Raw.
Yeah, but they didn't air until the next night.
My point loses a lot of merit with that.
It was just fucking stupid. There was no point to it. Whatever.
I mean, it's the same thing as why they're showing all these old matches. They have to fill time. They have to do something. And like Matt said, you only have, I mean, if you want to bang out as much as you can while people are there, do it. And I guess that's just what they came up with for that. And again, it was a Raw. It wasn't a pay-per-view. It wasn't anything that everyone knew that was going to be some sort of monumental event. It just happened to be content to fill Raw, and they went with it.
I guess I just can't get past the fact that they said, like, oh, this happened last night after WrestleMania when he came out to the ring for an interview. And I'm like, who the fuck is he coming out to the interview for? There's nobody there and there's no more crowd because they fucking cut this camera feed. It's like, I don't know. It was just fucking stupid. It was really stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue that it was unnecessary, but I mean, this is the point. This is where we are for now. At least who knows what's going to happen tonight on Raw with the live stuff, but this is where we were for a while. So,
yeah.
I'm not going to blame them for really doing anything other than doing live shows at this point.
Yeah, but you don't think someone would have been like, this is not a good idea, or at least let's not pretend this is after WrestleMania. Like, they couldn't have made it just seem like it was a Raw match.
Exactly.
Like, I think that's Tony's point. Like, why? Why, like to your point, like, Yoko Hogan, like, that was like bang, bang. Like, Brett lost. Hogan was there. Of course he was, because he's a shoehorn himself and fucking everything. But, like, it was bang, bang. This was like, oh, it's right. After the match. Drew McIntyre had to defend his title against the Big Show. Which is another question. Who the fuck is he going to face on Raw? Like, who's a top heel? Seth Rollins?
Yeah, maybe.
But he just lost to Kevin Owens.
Doesn't matter. None of this matters. It really doesn't.
Who's the top heel on Raw now?
Seth Rollins, Bobby Lashley, both lost at WrestleMania.
Oh, God, Lashley.
But he had the, didn't he have the COVID? Wasn't that one of the rumors that he was one of the guys that got sick?
I think the rumors going around was Corey Graves and Carmella, but they both denied it. And I think he had it before Mania, but then he had already beaten it and he had his match at Mania, Lashley.
Oh, okay. Brock's not there, so he was essentially your top heel. Seth Rollins would be the next guy. Unless I'm completely drawing a blank and forgetting somebody.
Probably, but it doesn't really matter at this point.
Well, they're both Drew McIntyre and Becky Lynch are going to be on Raw tonight if you have any interest in watching that.
Fantastic.
I do. All right. How do you feel about, speaking of Becky Lynch, we'll tie in the old Ronda Rousey. She stirred the pot this week. What do you guys think about Ronda?
Good for her. Good for her.
She's not wrong.
Not at all.
I don't disagree. I think she's fucking spot on, man. Wrestling fans are never happy. I think some people took what she said to heart. I think other people need to take a step back and realize this woman is a professional fighter, and her fake fighting was too much for her.
I think it was. I still think it's a work shoot to me. Like, that's what it seems like to me. She's still under contract for another year, so she's got to do something.
Is she?
Yeah, 2021. Her contract's
It's news to me.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I'm sure she's going to be back at some point, though. She's probably just going to be pulling like the Brock Lesnar thing, where she shows up, she beats some bitches up, and then she goes home.
Yeah, you got to remember, she left as a heel. She wasn't like a babyface.
She's a heel.
You know what I mean? Like Becky was the main babyface they wanted to get over. So this actually makes sense to me now. Becky beat Shayna, and now all of a sudden Ronda's talking stuff because Becky said that, hey, I killed cage fighters. And then you got like Nia Jax and like Alexa and all these people chiming in on Twitter. Come on.
Nia Jax is funny. Her exact tweet was, I can't wait for Ronda to one day return to WWE. Even if WWE orders me to make Ronda look good in the ring, which is the only way for Ronda to look good in the ring with me, I'll risk my job to go down in history as the one from this biz that knocked her fuck out. I feel like Nia Jax is not in a position to tell people that they look good in the ring because... She's had a rough go of it. She's hurt a lot of people. She's hurt her. Yeah. She's been hurt a lot. I mean.
Yeah, but she's not like most girls, Matt.
That's. You know what, Kevin? You hit the nail right on the head. I think it's hysterical that Lana has anything to say because she's fucking useless.
Not on Instagram. She's not.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Shut up.
You're better off just following fucking porn stars. But then Shayna Baszler came to her aid. So is this a seed planted for
Tony's favorite thing ever? Don't say it.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Don't you dare say the word.
Dirtiest storyline ever to be played out in the WWE ring. It's ever the Four Horsewomen.
How dare you?
Against what are they called?
The Horsewomen. They're both the Horsewomen, aren't they?
No, you can't have two Horsewomen.
But that's what they both call each other.
Ugh. Fuck that fucking whore.
Right? Like, don't Shayna and the two other nobodies and Ronda call themselves the Four Horsewomen, and don't Charlotte and Becky and Bayley, don't they call themselves the Four Horsewomen too?
Yeah, and
maybe. I hope it never comes to fruition. I really do. But never.
I mean, those other two are like, I don't know. I haven't seen them on TV in forever since, I guess, Shayna came up to the main roster. So who knows what they're doing. I couldn't even tell you their names, to be honest with you. Shafir?
Rhea Schaefer? Yeah, Schaefer and Jesse Marie Duke or something like that.
Jessa Blanchard?
No, not Jessa Blanchard.
Tony's not amused. Laugh. Smile.
I'm smiling. What do you want me to say?
The mic's in his face. Did you watch SmackDown Friday night? Anyone? Bueller?
I just caught the ending. Why? Did somebody else fucking decide not to come back because they got the COVIDs?
No, the Forgotten Sons debuted.
I did not see that. What the hell was I watching?
I knew it, but I forgot.
That's a great question, Kevin. What were you watching?
He's watching Tiger Man.
Well, they beat Grand Metalik and Lindsay Dorado of the
Outlanders.
Fucking idiots.
Main event anywhere.
Sure, if you say so.
I forgot it was on, and I turned it on at like 9 o'clock, I think, and then went back and forth. That's what it was.
It's on every Friday night at 8 o'clock, Kev.
Dude, I have no idea what day it is anymore sometimes, man. I thought today was Wednesday.
Your phone has a fucking calendar on it.
Yeah, but how often do you go to your calendar?
I don't. It's right on my screen. It tells me the
date. Yeah, it says it right there. It gives you the date with what day of the week it is. I mean,
Hold on. No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. Right there.
Hold on.
Kevin doesn't have his phone set like that.
It's every iPhone. As soon as you press the little button to get it going, it says what it says.
No, it just says 90% charged. That's all it says. I don't need that out of here.
Maybe his settings are different.
Oh, nope. He's right. It says it.
Fucking dildo.
Well, at least you know now, Kevin. You won't lose track of time.
Oh, before we change gears from WWE, I don't know if you guys are aware, but the class action against World Wrestling Entertainment is going forward due to all the stock shenanigans that have been happening. It started. I'm actually going to be part of the class action, and I'll explain why. Because if you bought shares of the stock between, I want to say, January of 2019 and March of 2020, there's a couple of shenanigans they're calling out in the lawsuit. The first was whether or not the payments were legitimate through Saudi Arabia. Because remember, there was the argument that Vince wasn't getting paid and there was all the shenanigans with the airplane and whatnot.
Yes.
Well, they're saying like all that nonsense that they weren't guaranteed to get paid and that was all up in the air, and they still went through with their conference calls and didn't really fucking clarify anything.
Tony, I'm sorry to cut you off. Who's filing a class action lawsuit against WWE?
People that invested during the time period from the Saudi Arabia stuff, as well as the firings of the two vice presidents, the ones that left recently.
Yeah.
And of course, I wound up buying some of the shares just after those two left, and I just managed to get into the class for the action, just in time for them to announce that they're fucking no, don't interrupt me. Let me finish. Come on, just in time for the class action like time period. So the couple of shares that I bought, they get me in. I don't know what that's going to mean, how far it's going to go or whatnot, but
you're suing my boss?
Yeah, of course.
How dare you?
Wait, I don't have the soundboard up, you son of a bitch.
How dare you?
How many shares do you own?
3.
Oh, you're going to clean up. You're going to clean up, pal.
I think I own 0.00000000000000002% of World Wrestling Entertainment Class C stock.
So wait, I work for you?
Yes, I'm your boss. God damn it!
You definitely have to have some kind of stocks share situation, Kevin. You should probably look over your contract again. I don't want to throw shade, Kev, but you just realized that the date was on your phone, so maybe you might want to look over that contract, buddy.
It's a good point.
You might be his boss.
Yeah, the fine print's a tricky issue.
Yeah, they make it so fucking small. Bunch of fuckers. Right.
No, so the thing was, like, I bought in knowing that, like, you know, like, because the stock took a big hit, you know, like, when the reports were coming out that they weren't making any money. So I jumped in. I'm like, what an opportunity, you know, because usually when the stocks go down, they level off, they come back up. And then it was like, well, then this didn't turn out the way they thought it was going to turn out. And then they fired so-and-so. And so, like, it was just, like, more. I mean, the stock was worth $100, over $100 at one point. It's now down around $35. That's a huge fucking dip in less than a year's time, you know?
Yes, yes.
And you remember all the stink, like, not even getting into the logistics of the stock, of you know, of the market. Just the fact that there was, like, this issue where wrestlers were being, like, abandoned in Saudi Arabia. They couldn't figure out how to get home because there was no fucking money because they weren't getting paid on anything. You remember all that shit that was going on.
Yes.
And then Vince just fucking up and left everybody and took his own plane home.
Vince and Brock.
Yeah, so, you know, there's definitely some shenanigans going on. So who knows how long the lawsuit's going to take, but there is an investigation and a filed lawsuit ongoing. So
Tony, you're breaking news. That's the first I've heard of this.
Yeah, so there you go. Class action.
I mean, I know they get every year somebody starts a class action lawsuit against them. I didn't know about this one, though.
Oh, there's class actions going on for everything at every time, dude. Like, if you probably fucking bought a bar of soap in CVS any time in the past 35 years, there's probably a lawsuit going on with that, a fucking class action.
Oh, yeah. I think I got paid out by a class action lawsuit that I didn't even know I was a part of. I got, like, a check from, I think, Toyota for, like, $100. Yeah, I had no idea.
We got one just today from Honda because their airbags were faulty on their Civics, and my wife.
Yeah, Toyota, same thing, the airbag.
Yeah, same shit. So it was like $70. There was, dude, when I was studying for the bar, there was a big class action suit against the bar study program, right?
We are the bar,
dude. I got a check. It was like it was practically half of what I paid for the fucking course. It was great.
Fella,
you know what the bar is?
What's that?
They're fucking losers because they're not the Shining Wizards Cup anymore.
Yeah, fuck them too.
So, I don't know what's going on Raw tonight, but I know what's going on SmackDown.
All right,
they're going to throw you another three-way tag team match, but only the singles. Your boy The Miz is back, Kevin.
Oh, I heard about this. It's the opposite.
You don't have the sniffles no more. Him against Big E against Jey Uso.
That's right.
You got some Money in the Bank qualifying matches.
Oh, whoopty frig.
Daniel Bryan against Cesaro.
We are the bar.
Naomi against Dana Brooke.
Oh.
I'm excited. Feel the glow, boys.
Sonya Deville, Mandy Rose segment to clear the air. This is just the beginning. We're on the road to Money in the Bank, boys. And I know you talked about our picks last week, but this is where we stand right now.
Wait.
You don't have to play the music.
Yeah, I do. Hold on.
Just the fucking standings?
I feel like we need to play the music. Go ahead. It's playing. Go for it.
It's playing. Tony still sits at the top of the leaderboard at 46-20. After he shit the bed during WrestleMania.
Yeah, but I didn't shit it so badly. I only finished two matches behind you guys, so I didn't do terribly.
Wait, what's his overall record?
46-20.
Wow, that's impressive.
All right, I am right behind Tony at 43-23. Right. Kevin, you made up some ground. I know you were down on your luck before all this shit happened. You're at 38-26.
Oh, disgusting.
You're closing the gap, Kevin. Kevin.
Yeah, well,
remember, I mean, I don't know what the summer's going to bring, what the spring is going to bring, how many pay-per-views we're going to be picking. At this rate, I hope we pick one fucking two every week just to fucking annoy the shit out of Tony. I closed the gap in the summer. I was like 11 games out of first place, and I sat on the top of the hill, even if it was only for a week. I was there. Everything's possible, Kevin. Don't doubt yourself.
Nah, this is – I'm one and done. I'm a champ, and then we got rid of all my free agents, and we're rebuilding. It's tough.
All right. Well, I will have asterisk. I don't care. I'm taking this one. I don't care if we pick fucking two more pay-per-views the rest of the year. Tony can eat shit and smile, okay? That's all I'm saying about that.
Even though I'm still playing that John Cena, Bray Wyatt, Firefly Funhouse under protest.
Look, man, The Fiend beat him. It was on the WWE website. It was on the Wikipedia.
Yep.
The record books, bro.
Yep.
When have you ever seen a hologram of the person in the match count, the person of the match out?
I mean, look, we could argue that the fucking Undertaker's been dead for 30 years. So do those count if dead people beat alive people?
He was never killed.
Wait.
Remember Royal Rumble where he fucking resurrected out of the casket?
Wait, the match.
He beat the system.
The match wasn't Bray Wyatt against John Cena anyway. It was The Fiend against John Cena. Bray Wyatt just happened to be the referee. That's all.
No, he wasn't. He doesn't. I would like to see his license. Does he have a referee's license in the state of Florida?
Hey, if anybody has access to those licenses, Kevin, it's you, Mr. Corporate.
Yeah, and I'll tell you right now, he doesn't. So my word is just as official as that match.
Well,
so
wait. You're assuming.
I overrule it. John Cena is the winner. Oh, no, there is no winner.
You're assuming the match took place in Florida. We don't know where the Firefly Funhouse is.
Firefly, Florida. Duh.
Hey, Tony.
Yeah.
That's the name of the episode.
Firefly, Florida.
Firefly, Florida. That's a tongue twister.
Fuck, I gotta write that down.
Let's stay in this Undertaker little area here. Kevin, you watched NXT Wednesday night. They did another cinematic masterpiece. I was going to watch it, but then this afternoon, I just have fucking zero interest in it, man.
Well, you told me to tell you who won so you wouldn't have to watch it.
Right. But then I was like, oh, you know, I'm all jacked up for the podcast. I had to miss last week because one of the fucking Spanish kids at work doesn't know what fucking social distancing is. So then he was fucking sick. He showed up to work. He worked fucking half a day. Everybody thought they were going to get sick. I thought I was going to get fucking sick. I had like a fucking panic attack last Monday.
Yep.
About getting my fuck. I don't want to, like, God forbid I got my fucking mother-in-law sick and she fucking died. Like, how am I supposed to live with that?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
I had to fail last week, and the week before that, I had to fucking work. I'm jacked up about tonight. I'm excited to be back on the Shining Wizards podcast with Kevin and Tony. All right, don't say any more disparaging shit about the Generation Y either, Tony, or I'll come get you.
I didn't say anything disparaging.
Last week, you shit talked to Generation Y. We're after you.
All right, come
get
me.
We got two words for you. Why not?
Come get me.
I'll come get you. I ain't afraid of no coronavirus. I got masks for days.
You just said you were afraid of coronavirus.
Yeah, but now I'm not. My wife's Asian. She's been making masks all fucking day long. It's like a sweatshop down in my living room.
Jesus.
I found my two Hulk Hogan bandanas, and I've been recycling them as my masks.
Nice. Nice.
One from 1989 and one from 2002.
Oh. All right. So back to my previous – this is how we got here. Tell me about this cinematic masterpiece between Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
Well, this was, according to Triple H, it ended there. Like, that's it. Oh, wait, are we still?
Oh, no.
Oh, I think he hung up.
No, he's still there.
Oh, you.
He's gone.
God, that was disgusting.
No, he's still there. No, wait.
I don't have him on my screen. He gone.
All right, we got to call him back.
He'll call back when he's ready. Whatever. Here's what happened at NXT. There was a women's match for Shad against Charlotte Flair, and Io Shirai ended up winning. So people are like super amped up for Charlotte Flair against Io Shirai. Why? I haven't the slightest idea. Kevin, are you jacked up for Io Shirai against Charlotte Flair? Kevin.
Hold on.
All right.
Hold on.
Kevin's got to wipe the vomit off his face. Hi, buddy.
You guys are out of your mind.
All right, I won't do it anymore. I promise.
That's all Tony. Before we get to your cinematic match, we'll do that.
No.
Tell me about this ladder match that Io Shirai won. Are you excited for Io Shirai, Charlotte Flair?
Yeah, I mean they gotta make a contender out of somebody, right? So, Yeah, no problem. This was the match that was going to be happening at TakeOver. Now, I can't have no way of knowing if this was going to be the result they would have gone with then, but I think Io Shirai, since she turned heel on Candice LeRae back months and months ago, I think she's been one of the unsung heroes of NXT and just a really good, really good character for them. So I have no problem with her versus Charlotte, especially if – but here's the thing, though. They're both – it depends on where they go with Charlotte at this point now, because Charlotte also was the heel to Rhea Ripley's, you know, top babyface. So we'll see how that works in terms of that, because you're looking at a heel right now for the NXT Women's Championship, unless Io Shirai turns or one of them turns.
Is there – I mean, it's 2020. Are we really – WWE likes to gray the line, so I don't –
They gray the lines with babyface, very rarely with heel.
Is Charlotte really a heel, though?
She was in the feud with Ripley. Comes to NXT, big times Rhea. Absolutely.
You guys talked about it last week, which, by the way, excellent show.
Thank you.
Excellent show. Is it weird how they cut the legs out right under from Ripley?
Yes. The entire wasn't NXT it, show. Absolutely. 100%.
Wasn't it because, and I read this after the fact, and if you guys have heard this, it was because her work visa expired and she had to go back to Australia.
I heard that, but I also heard, I saw a video from her where she's still in the States.
Oh, all right.
Some people from the Wrestling Observer feel like it was a power move where Rhea came in, they made her top dog, and she thought she was bigger than what she was, so they cut her legs out from underneath her and had Charlotte beat her.
Boo.
That's all rumor, though. I can't confirm any of that.
Yeah, that would be a bummer if that was the case.
I feel
on
like
so many levels
to have her like they put her winning the title on NXT on USA like in that second hour. That was like a big thing. It was a huge thing. People went nuts for it. And then for her to like to Tony's point for like this. Why does she, is Charlotte Flair really going to move the needle on NXT?
Nope.
Like, they gave you the main event for TakeOver last week and they barely beat a subpar AEW show.
Well, if you go back a couple months, a couple months at this point, when they announced that Charlotte would be on NXT to confront Rhea Ripley after Rhea Ripley was on Raw, it didn't. AEW still won that night, and so Charlotte. But I am, if I'm not mistaken, one of the one nights that NXT did beat AEW since the Wednesday night thing, I think it was when Rhea Ripley won the belt.
Right.
So I could be wrong about that. They may have still lost, but I think they won that night.
Regardless of who won or lost, like that was a huge.
Yeah.
That was they told an
awesome
story.
That's what I'm emphasizing, the fact that it was that big, that out of if there was only three times in the last however long they've both been on the air, that's one of the ones that NXT won that emphasizes how big of a win and how big of a spectacle that was.
Right. So why are we taking the title off Rhea? Like, I just felt like I don't know. It just doesn't make sense in my brain.
I don't know.
I thought that it was maybe the work visa thing, but your story from the Observer makes sense too. But to me,
it could be all those things though.
Yeah. But to me, Triple H, I don't feel like operates that way. Does he?
Might not be Triple H's call though. Everything has to go through the old man, right?
But if it's NXT, wouldn't it be Triple H's call?
You think Triple H is going to turn down having Charlotte Flair as his NXT Women's Champion?
Nope.
No. I wouldn't. But if you have a plan in place where you're going to strap the rocket to Rhea, because that seems like what they do with the NXT Women's Championship. Those are long reigns. Think Asuka.
Yeah.
Then they did the back and forth with the Pirate and Shayna Baszler. And then Shayna loses to Rhea Ripley, and then she goes to lose to Becky Lynch. And now what's Shayna doing? Is she going to get inserted back in the feud? Are we going to get Flair Shayna? Or is Shayna going to stay on the main roster and be involved in a fucking feud with Dana Brooke and Naomi?
Do you really think that you really think they poo-pooed on Shayna Baszler going into Mania based on what happened at Hell in the Cell?
Why? What happened?
Well, because, Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, well, that was it. Elimination Chamber. Sorry. Like, Shayna got no reactions whatsoever during her Slaughterfest where she eliminated everybody from that match. Do you think maybe that soured them on Shayna, or do you think this was the plan all along to have Becky win the match?
Wouldn't that be more of a reason to have her beat Becky? Because the money's in the chase.
Yeah, of course. And plus, Becky's been champion for a year. There'd be no harm in her fucking losing the title and then fighting for the next couple of months to try to get it back. There would have been no shame in that whatsoever.
I disagree. Because I think Becky's one of these once, I'm not going to say generational, but I'm going to say, and I know you guys are going to really like not like this because you feel like I do feel like she lost a little bit of steam, but I feel like she got it back going into Mania. And I think because part of that is she beat and feuded with a legit badass as opposed to an Asuka who no one gave a shot to, you know, somebody like anyone else, like Dana Brooke and that who no one really gave a shot. Now they had this real legit threat to her. And I think she got a lot of her legs back. And I think that Becky as a babyface is one of those like Stone Cold. There was the money was always with Stone Cold with the belt. There wasn't really no money with Stone Cold in the chase. So I feel the same way to a lesser extent with Becky.
Well, here's the other thing too. Like they spent all this time going into Survivor Series trying to prove the fact that NXT could hang and bang with Raw and SmackDown, trying to build them up. Everything disappeared pretty quickly after that. Now you have a chance with two stars that you've built up in Rhea and Shayna, and neither one of them got a fucking win at WrestleMania. That's a big fucking goose egg in my book.
I don't think Shayna's hurt by losing to arguably the biggest star that you have in the company.
She's not, but when they strap such a fucking rocket to her where she blows through five other women in the fucking chamber match.
But again, Tony, at the Elimination Chamber, like, come on, it's a February filler pay-per-view. Like, what is that? That's what that pay-per-view was designed to do. It's designed to set somebody up for, I mean, on one side of the coin for victory and the other side is to lose. It's to me, and Shayna Baszler is going to be okay. She's going to be fine. But I just didn't think if anyone else was the champion, I'd say, yeah, go with Baszler. But it's Becky Lynch. And I think Becky Lynch has the potential to be a champion for another year.
And I said it last week. The minute I saw her show up at WrestleMania in that fucking truck with her name and her face on, I said, she ain't fucking losing. I'm like, they didn't spend all this money on this truck for her to fucking lose. What's she going to become? The Lex Express trying to get her fucking belt back? It's ridiculous.
Look, there's no doubt. No doubt that Becky Lynch is arguably the biggest woman's wrestling star in the WWF, WWE in the last 30 years. I put her above Lita. I put her above Trish. Yes, they were the godmothers, whatever you want to fucking call them, the pillars.
Godmothers.
The women's division.
They were the two horsewomen.
Oh, fuck off, Kevin.
But, you know, Becky has surpassed them. And yes, she is great and she's excellent. But, like, what are we doing now? Like, what's Becky's next move? Is it a rematch with Shayna? Where's Shayna going?
Probably.
What's the story here? Like, who's next? Becky Lynch has beat them all. So back to Kevin's point earlier when we talked about Ronda Rousey, is that the answer? Are we? Because Becky was never better. Than when she was opposed by Ronda Rousey, kind of like Austin and The Rock.
Wait, what show is Liv Morgan on? Is she on Raw?
Yeah, she beat Natty in the open air.
Yeah, so there you go. Maybe Liv Morgan's going to get a shot, or maybe we get Natty thrown around.
Yeah, but no
again.
One really takes that. That's not a feud that you're going to really take seriously unless they. I mean, they had the machine behind. I hate that I just said that. It seemed like they had a plan with Liv Morgan for that whole Bobby Lashley Lana stuff, but then it just kind of fell off. And what she had a win over Natty. And I guess you can push her there, but I mean, is anyone really going to take that seriously too?
Speaking of Lana and Lashley, I also heard that that they might be splitting those two up after all. I don't know.
Oh, nuts.
I know. I don't understand it. They spend like the better part of like, what, 6 months building this whole thing, and now they're not even getting along anymore either in the storyline. So I don't know what the fuck they wasted everybody's time for with that nonsense.
There's that nucleus of women that you could put in feuds with each other where people care. Now, my question is who else fits in there? And you have the majority of them on SmackDown. Charlotte Flair is also still on Raw, but she's also the NXT Women's Champion. the question is, what do you do with now Asuka and Kairi Sane now that they are not?
Oh, there you go.
You know, is that the next move? We saw them kind of toy with that. Wasn't there a weird thing where like Becky and Charlotte were teaming up against the Bukkake Warriors months ago?
Yeah, but I mean, Asuka's been very vocal lately. I think they're trying to get her more animated, so maybe she steps up, you know?
But, yeah, but see, Becky already, they had that huge storyline going into the, I believe it was the Rumble, where like Asuka, like Becky never beat Asuka, and then she finally did. So now, like, what's the, like, where's the story there now? Maybe the rubber match, I guess?
Right, but where's the story with, you know, like, back to your point, like, is anyone really going to be like, oh, Liv Morgan has a chance to beat Becky Lynch? No. Dana Brooke doesn't have a chance. Lana doesn't have a fucking
chance. Yeah, but they give Dana Brooke fucking chance after chance, man. Every time she's in a match, they're like, she's like, I'm going to try my best. And then she fucking gets her shit pushed in.
And I'm not saying that no one can beat Becky. I'm just saying, I mean, they could do whatever they want. They could make whoever they want beat Becky if they really want to. If they want Liv Morgan to beat Becky, she'll beat Becky. It's just, I just don't see it happening until Ronda or Shayna. Shayna's going to get another match. She's going to have to.
But I hope so. Look, whoever beats Becky is going to be made. So that's what you have to factor into that. Who has it?
Yeah, maybe Candice. Oh, man, that'd be great. Candice LeRae comes up, maybe, or maybe Io Shirai, or Bianca Belair's on the Raw roster now. Duh.
Oh, can't wait.
God.
Well, there it is. That's the answer.
Yeah, but they stuck her with the Street Profits. Is she going to really do her own thing now if she's like in Six Men with Andrade's and the Vegas and all them?
No, but I mean, the story doesn't have to start tonight.
Well, it should. I mean, where's Becky going to go? Like, that's the whole thing. Like, where does she go?
What are you going to do?
She can't go far.
We'll find out tonight, I guess. We'll find out the first step.
She's going to come to the ring, and she's going to have the microphone. And nobody beat me. I'm the man. And then somebody's going to come out, and then we'll find out who it is.
What if a man came out and beat the shit out of her?
Good. And you know what? Everybody that fucking loves the fact that Tessa Blanchard's the champ of Impact Wrestling could suck my fucking ball bag. Fucking idiots. Tessa's so believable. She beats everybody. Fuck off.
Well, they're in an interesting predicament over there.
Oh, they sure are. They're going to have the fucking longest reigning fucking TNA world champion is going to be a woman. Whoop-de-fucking-doo. Good job, fucknuts.
All right, Cornette. Take a breather.
Well, it's got nothing to do with Cornette, dude. Fucking, you know what? Ric Flair should come out of retirement and challenge his daughter for the fucking NXT championship. There you go.
Maybe he will.
I hope he does.
The predicament that Impact is in is that they are going ahead and they've taped 2 months of TV, including the Rebellion pay-per-view. They're making it a two-night special, but half the roster and the front offices cannot be there. They are not bringing in any talent from California, which includes your world champion, Tessa Blanchard.
Well, why would they fucking bring her in? Who gives a
can't
shit?
Can't bring in anyone from New York. And the only all your executive producers, Don Callis, Ed Nortman, and, well, who's the fucking guy? Scott D'Amore. Scott D'Amore is already here in the States. The other guys are in Canada, and they can't get over the border. So it'll be really interesting to see what they do with all these tapings, because they went to Tennessee and they taped for 2 months.
Well, I'm a king. Well, I'm a king. Well, I'm the king of Impact Tennessee. Well, I'm the king.
What they should do is say that Tessa lost the championship at fucking Fight Island as part of like UFC Fight Night, and just fucking pick whoever beat her, and then just pretend like it never happened, and just fucking move on.
Well, she was supposed to have a three-way match with Michael Elgin and Eddie Edwards.
Oh, so then fucking Michael Elgin and Eddie Edwards are going to beat the shit out of each other, and she's going to pin one when the other one hits the other move on the third one.
She's not going to be there.
I'm saying if she was here, that's how they would book it, to keep that fucking horse shit alive. Just fucking take the belt off her and be done with it. Let her come back and say it was like Monica, close but no cigar, and just fucking be done with this shit.
Yeah, I'm surprised the belt's still on her, to be honest with you, because I remember when we were first talking about this, I was like, she doesn't have to hold it forever. She could lose it again real quick, and she hasn't.
No, because they keep fucking finding a way to keep it on her, dumbass. That's all.
It's been 3 months.
And then fucking What's-Her-Nuts challenge for the championship, too. Fucking Taya. It's like, really?
Yeah, but that storyline played out and it's over.
Yeah, I know. It's all storylines. They have to be decent stories, though.
You're a decent story.
Give me Taya pissing in fucking Tessa's coffee, and then they have a fucking Insta feud.
Easy, Vince. She's already in a feud with Jordan Grace.
Ha ha! That big thick Jordan.
Vince McMahon is booking Impact.
Don't steal my gimmick.
I'm stealing your gimmick because you don't fucking do it anymore. Hey, you know what? You could be Overweight Larry. How do you like that? You want to be Overweight
Larry?
That's
a terrible character.
Overweight Larry fucking rules. He's got 53 followers on Facebook.
Wait, what?
Wait, Larry, come in here.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Can I eat cake off of Tessa's ass?
You sure can, Overweight Larry.
I can eat cake anywhere. I'm fucking overweight.
A lot of people, buddy.
I want to eat cake off of everything. I'm a fucking slob.
Overweight Larry, what's your favorite kind of cake these days? It's been a while that we've heard from you.
I like pussy cake.
Oh, my God. All right.
Now, what?
Goodbye, Overweight Larry.
What? No, not goodbye, Overweight Larry. Now I got to find out. What is pussy cake?
It's when you take the cake and in the batter you get some nice down-home drippings, if you know what I mean, from down-home.
Is it anything like cake farts?
That's the frosting. We kayfabe the frosting farts.
Larry, you are a fucking character, I swear to God.
Yeah, he is. And well, he's got 53 followers on Facebook, so that means he's fucking king shit. I don't know. What are you bragging
about?
Follow
me at facebook.com/overweightlarry. And like I say all the time, I gotta go.
When was the last time Overweight Larry signed? Does Overweight...
Maybe Overweight Larry needs to do some quarantine content.
See, fucking vote on the fucking Shining Wizards Cup, you fucking cheater.
Oh, you want me to bring him back?
No, I don't.
No, he can't vote. He doesn't know how to vote.
Overweight Larry doesn't know how to vote?
Nah, man. I don't think...
You know what? We gotta keep Overweight Larry away because he's... he has compromised immune system, so he's got to be... He's got to be careful.
Yeah, I'm in trouble because I eat so much ass.
That's right. Ready?
No, I
can't. You have an underlying condition.
Listen, anytime you're talking about conditions and eating, I gotta come back in the room.
What? I gotta see a picture of a woman that Overweight Larry eats the ass.
Oh, all right. I'll see if I can pull one up.
I'll be right back.
It can't be anything appetizing.
Kevin, don't go anywhere.
I got you on the right, and I feel like I'm watching the fucking Blair Witch Project on the left over here.
Why? What's wrong with Kevin?
I know he fucking put his phone on the porch. He can only hear us. He can't see us because you scarred him with whatever weird shit you pull up.
I'm trying to find something good.
I know. It's taking a long time, though. I'm going to move on with this
conversation. No, you can move on. Sure.
Kevin, can you at least hear us? No?
Kevin... Did he fucking leave again?
He, like, put the phone down. He probably went to get another beer, which I'm going to have to go get some more Jack in a couple minutes. But when we cross that bridge, we'll deal with that.
Yeah, we'll cross something.
So Friday was a very exciting news day in the world of professional wrestling.
Oh, what happened on Friday?
Something that has been talked about for, it seems like, months, maybe even years. The Revival. They are finally free. They got the release from the WWE, and they are free to go wherever they want.
Immediately.
They changed their names. They are now going as David Hardwood and Daniel Wheeler.
Why David Hardwood?
Why not? That's a fucking awesome name.
It's just weird.
David Hardwood?
Yeah. What is he, fucking
that
Val Venus'
like
kid?
Right in your fucking wheelhouse.
What is he, Val Venus' kid? I mean, I don't fucking get it. David Hardwood.
Hardwood and Wheeler.
Wheelie Hardwood. All right. I guess.
Kevin, we've moved on to the Revival, getting the release from the WWE.
Oh, boy. Expected, clearly, but...
I feel like it's something I said to Tony before. It's something we've been talking about for, it seems like, years.
Yep.
Yeah. It's. I wonder if it's, like, the timing with everything that's going on. Like, where are they going to – do they have their 90-day no-compete?
Nope.
There was not a 90-day no-compete.
Really? Because that usually just happens when you get released, right? It's, they didn't play out their contract. They got let go. So usually
I guess they work something out. They could be... I'm sure they gave them that 90-day no-compete because they know that AEW is taped until the middle of May. But realistically, there could be like a vignette video or like, you know, some kind of production video of them on AEW Wednesday night.
I think maybe they just got tired of Revival talking shit like that they want to get released, you know? Maybe they're just like, fuck it, let them go.
Can you blame them?
I'm not blaming them, but maybe WWE just finally got tired of putting up with it. And they're like, why are we dealing with this? Let's just fucking let them go.
Well, we have been talking about this for years, and then didn't they sign an extension a little while ago, or was that the Good Brothers?
I believe the Good Brothers are.
Yeah, they definitely did because they were talking about leaving. I'm sorry, Matt.
No, it's okay. I think the Good Brothers had recently signed.
But I thought when we first had these revival talk, they were going to leave, but then they also signed an extension, and then now it's up again, and now they're done. It's like, I wonder when their contract was actually done, because we feel like you said, Matt, we've been talking about this forever.
I'm fucking excited about this. I'm super excited about this.
How long until they break into the top five tag teams in AEW, Kev?
Oh, shut up. Stupid ranking nonsense.
Here's what I don't understand, right? Now that I have a lot of downtime, I spend a lot of time on Twitter. I do a lot of stuff on the Wizards podcast Twitter account, and it's just weird to see, like, the Revival had a match of the year candidate.
With Curt Hawkins and Zack Ryder at WrestleMania.
No, against DIY at NXT TakeOver.
Like, that's right.
One of the best tag matches ever, right? And they were then they got to their main roster and they were tag champions. They were the Revival and they were under the WWE banner, and the WWE faithful stuck to them like flies on shit. These guys are great. And they are. They're a fucking great tag team. The minute they got released, fuck these guys. They're garbage. They're not a good tag team. Look what they did in the WWE.
Wait, who said that?
Oh my God. The fucking WWE faithful on Twitter.
Oh, the fans? Well, fuck the fans, dude. I thought you meant like WWE roster people.
Oh, no. It's always about it's so weird. The fickle fans. How once you're not under that WWE umbrella, like Jon Moxley, like Brody Lee, like Chris Jericho, like Matt Hardy, you can have our washed up superstars. That's not the case.
Matt, I'm so glad you brought that up because I couldn't agree with you more.
When the Revival's in a fucking storyline where they're getting icy hot on their balls, like, what are we doing here? These guys are like, I've said it through text messages. Like, it's like the fucking Brainbusters and the Heart Foundation had some babies, and this is the tag team. And you could do so much with them, but instead they're in a fucking angle where they're fucking getting icy hot put on their balls. Are you fucking kidding me?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
The Revival were in our Shining Wizards Cup tournament, weren't they?
They were.
Did they make
it? They lost, I think, two. Didn't they lose to the Brainbusters or no? Or is that Brainbusters Heart Foundation?
I don't think so. I'll pull up the graphic while you guys are chatting.
I got it right in front of you. The Revival did lose to Arn and Tully.
In the first round?
Yes, sir.
That's unfortunate. That's an unfortunate seeding. Great match. Great match if you think about it, but that's very unfortunate for them.
I want to get back to Matt's point about this is totally different from like when you go back to WCW and WWF, who were not in their prime, who were way over the edge or whatever you want to say. These are guys, maybe you want to exclude Matt Hardy. I don't count Jericho either, because Jericho is so far above everybody else that you needed Jericho there. But taking a guy like Brody Lee, taking a guy like they take the Revival. Like, these guys never – they're not has-beens. They were never was, but through no fault of their own. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, if the Revival goes there, everyone's like, oh, some more WWE, you know, toss-outs, some weirdos. there's no question to what they could have been in WWE. They just never got the chance. So I hate that argument now with the WWE, like Dillinger or Sean Spears. The guy never had a chance. And it's not his – I mean, they always say if you want to get over, you have to figure out a way to get yourself over. You got to do it. You got to do it. And maybe some people don't feel. It doesn't mean that they don't have anything to offer. Look at Lance Archer. Left WWE. Was in TNA for a while as Dallas. Lance Archer or Vance Archer in WWE. New Japan. Resurgence. AEW. Boom. Is that – like? I refuse to believe that listen, AEW is not stupid. Cody's not stupid. They're not going to take anyone that WWE releases. They're just not. But these guys are clearly there. Brody Lee was a guy that their fan base wanted to see more, and they got him.
So, and it's what you do creatively. What do these guys want to do?
Agreed. And now they have the opportunity to – now if they don't make it here – that's a whole different ballgame because you have the opportunity to make yourself to do what you want to do from all accounts, right? There's no writing team in AEW. They have a lot. All the guys have pretty much free range over their own storylines. So now if you do this here, if you do your own thing there and it doesn't work, well then, yeah, then maybe there's a case that it's you.
Yeah. But I think when you see like, look, I've said it before, WWE is an entertainment company. And AEW, New Japan, Ring of Honor, they're wrestling companies. These guys are going – they're going to fucking thrive. And I think the biggest move, in my opinion, they're going to go to AEW absolutely because that whole thing with the Bucks, that's something that's just going to simmer. They're going to fucking let that sit there. Man, the Revival needs to go to New Japan Pro Wrestling because they are hurting for some heavyweight tag teams.
I was gonna say that or Ring of Honor. I think the first stop obviously will be AEW, but like they don't necessarily need to sign like a 2-year commitment or contract with them or anything like that. They could go do the Young Bucks stuff, which essentially I'm not saying they can't do more, but that's what everyone wants to see.
Sure, but then you know who doesn't want to see the Revival against Kenny Omega and Adam Page or the Lucha Brothers or SCU?
Okay. Oh God, goddamn! Yeah, you're right.
You know. Like who? And then on the flip side, you don't want to see the Revival against G.O.D. or L.I.J. or Tony's fucking love boys. Fucking
Tanahashi, Ibushi, Tanahashi, baby.
What about Ring of Honor? What about them versus the Briscoes?
That's amazing. Them versus Moff and Cobb. Come on.
Yeah, them against. I don't know if they're still a team or not, but Jay Lethal and Gresham.
They are the tag champs in Ring of Honor. I mean, come on. This is fucking huge, huge for tag team wrestling. I'm super excited about this. It was excellent news to wake up to Friday morning. I'll tell you
When the Revival, when their slogan is that they're top guys, now that they're not in, I bring this up a lot. There are very few teams or tag teams that I think could be main event guys. Like if you put them in the main event on your show, like the Road Warriors are one, you know, Mega Powers, Twin Towers. Listen, like the Revival was a team to me that if you put them in the right situation, they can main event any Raw, any pay-per-view. Like, so they have a chance, assuming we're all in a perfect world again soon, they have a chance to make a whole lot of money.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt they're going to make money hand over fist. Tony, you look like you're falling asleep over there. You're not excited about the Revival?
I'm fine. You guys are the Revival experts. I didn't want to jump in. Besides,
whoa,
you know, what? We're on Skype. I wanted to let you guys roll. You guys were rolling. Sometimes it's better not to say something than to say something, you know?
That's a good point.
You know? I could say a lot about MLW because I fucking watched their first episode from Mexico this week if you guys want to move on. Or do you want to do a little plug ski for the Patreon skis and do a little plugs for the show skis on the network skis?
Let's you talk some MLW. I got to take a leak and I want to grab another airplane bottle here.
Okay, good. And then when you get back, you could do the plugs for the network and the Patreons while I go get myself a Superstars ice cream bar.
I'm waiting for him. I thought that's what he wanted to talk about MLW, right?
Let's talk MLW. I think he's frozen.
No, I'm here. You don't see me? You can't see me?
Okay. Now I do.
Did you hear me? I'm going to grab a...
Yeah, I heard you. Go ahead. Go. And when you get back, there. You're on the plugs. No, you relax, motherfucker.
I watched MLW, too.
Oh, then you want... Why do you want me to talk about it? You know what? I'll do that.
He just said he has to get up and go somewhere.
Oh, Fungal. He said he watched it. I want to know if he wants to talk about it with me. You guys are idiots. Now Kevin's frozen. I hope you're happy. All right, there you go. Now you're moving.
You were frozen too.
It's cold. MLW. Cold. Kev, MLW was in Mexico this week.
Aruba.
And it was actually a overall a decent to okay show. We started off with a Barrio street fight.
Can I cut you off right here, Tony?
Sure, go ahead.
No. Trust me. You're gonna. It's a compliment. I praise and I love your commitment to MLW.
I feel like it's my civic duty.
Like no matter what, like good, bad, or indifferent, the fact that you take time out of your day or your week to go ahead and watch MLW and report to us, you should get like an award, like a Nobel Prize type deal.
Well, I should definitely get an award for some of the stuff in this episode. Like I said, it was decent to okay. Nothing really earth-shattering. We only got two matches again this week, which I like. I like that they're actually giving some of these matches time, but boy, I kind of wish they didn't give this match a lot of time. The Barrio street fight, Old Mancer and Savio Vega taking on a team you probably never heard of before, Pagano and Mortiz. They're pretty cool looking. They got the whole fucking, the whole Lucha Libre vibe and whatnot. But this was not a great match. A lot of it was sloppy. A lot of it was just like fucking stalling. There were some chair shots traded back and forth. I want to say it was between Mance and Mortiz, maybe.
But, now, Tony, is this in an eight side? Is this in an octagon? No. Ring?
Good question. This is in a regular squared circle. This is only four sides. And this is AAA. So I'm kind of surprised. Unless it's CMLL that's doing that now and it's not AAA. I think CMLL still has the six-sided ring. I have to get refreshed.
That's what I meant, not octagonal. Is it hexagonal?
I know what you
meant.
It's a six-sided. It's hexagon, yeah. Yeah. The only thing I ever saw in octagon in terms of a ring was
the wrestler octagon?
No holds barred.
Oh,
Hulk Hogan fought Zeus in the Battle of the Tough Guys thing in an eight-sided ring. Which was pretty cool looking. I'm surprised nobody's tried that. That would be funky. Anyway, yeah, so there were some chair shots, but Mancer was like protecting himself and the other guy was like just taking him full on. So it was kind of like, meh. They had doors.
You call him Mancer?
Yeah, Old Mancer. Mance Warner. That's what they call him, Old Mancer.
Okay.
Come on, dude. I've been doing this for months now. You don't know Old Mancer?
Yeah, no, I should not question your knowledge of MLW. I'm sorry.
Somebody took the fucking, the Masada skewers to the head. I want to say it was Mortiz. Oh, there was a car hood that somebody got power bombed on. Oh yeah. Vega used the skewers on Pagano. It was Pagano's head. That was it. And, somebody got fucking power bombed on a car hood that they brought into the ring. There was some sloppy shit at the end. Like it looked like it was supposed to end. They had a flaming table spot and Mancer fucking reversed it, put Pagano through, but Pagano got lit on fire, so Mancer had to kind of put him out. Dude, it was just all over the fucking place. It was just a lot of like stupidity that didn't really fit a story. Vega went off the top. Savio Vega tried to do something off the top, but Pagano put the chair up and hit him in the balls with it, and that was it. Fucking hit him with a blockbuster after that, and they fucking lost. Pagano and Mortiz are your winners. Like I said, not great. King Mo has been suspended because of his attack on Killer Cross, finally. Tom Lawler talked some shit about Team Filthy and Top Team. Who gives a fuck? Next week, they're going to be taking on... So now Team Filthy, fucking Tom Lawler and Dominic Guarini, a.k.a. Brain, they're fucking taking on Extreme Tiger and Puma King as they officially enter into the tag team ranks. I don't know why you had to fucking officially enter into it. We go to the fucking hotel room of the Dynasty where they were all drunk and they went to some donkey show.
Nice. And,
so apparently Hammerstone has to defend the title against Laredo Kid, so they got to get ready for that. Kevin, what's your favorite
part? I thought you were going to say he has to defend the title against the donkey.
That would have been fucking cool. Actually, the match he had was great, but before we get there, Kevin, you want to know what the next part of the show was, your favorite part of MLW Fusion every week?
The rankings?
The rankings, Kevin. Correct. Ding.
All right. I haven't watched MLW in a month. Let me see if I can guess.
There's some changes this week, so just be prepared.
All right. So what? Give me a category.
A category? It's just the top 10. I don't know.
Oh, I wasn't sure if there was tag teams or other
nope,
things.
It's just strictly top 10.
Top 10. All right. So I'll go number one. Fatu?
Of course. Well, he's the champ. He's not number one. He's the champion. But he's the top
one. So Hammerstone then, number one?
Hammerstone's number one.
Is he really?
Yes.
Surprise.
Well, because he's the middle openweight champion. That's why.
Not Davey. Junior.
Davey Boy Smith Jr. is number two, supplanting last week's number two, if you can guess who that is.
Tom Lawler.
No, Myron Reed, the middleweight champion.
All right.
He probably falls down a spot because Injustice was suspended for what they did to Brian Pillman Jr. last week with the curb stomper 2 weeks ago, actually. Oh.
All right.
Oh, so, fucking Matt just rolled his eyes. Here we go.
Hammerstone.
Yes.
Davey Boy Smith Jr., Myron Reed.
Yes.
So we're looking for number four?
Number four.
Can I get a... Filthy Tom Lawler?
No, he's not number four.
I'll go Brian Pillman Jr.
Correct! Ding!
And Matt, just so we can follow up, Tom Lawler was number five. Who do you got for number six?
Okay.
Okay, all right.
Richard Holiday. Fucking Caribbean champ.
He stole the belt.
I will guess number six is Jordan Oliver.
Jordan Oliver, not in the top 10. That's a hint. Number six is Matt's favorite wrestler on the MLW roster.
No, it's not fucking King Mo.
Correct. Ding.
You fucking serious?
Correct. Ding.
Number six.
Dummy. Yeah.
I hope MLW folds.
Number seven.
Number six.
Who's number seven?
Correct.
Number seven is... Oh, God. I couldn't even tell you the roster anyway. It's been so long since I watched. Savio Vega?
Savio Vega, not in the top 10.
Richard Holiday.
L.A. Park.
Wait, who?
LA, one of the Parks.
Dominic Greeny.
No, Mance Warner's number seven.
Oh, okay.
Who's number... They touted his big win over MJF last week to send them packing. Who's number eight?
Jimmy Holiday?
Who, what?
Richie Holiday.
Correct! Ding!
Who's number nine?
Jimmy Havoc.
Jimmy Havoc, not in the top 10.
Fuck you. Gino Medina.
Gino Medina.
Ray Roos.
Is it Laredo Kid?
No, it's Low-Key. Low-Key's number nine. Number 10, you guys said who that person already for another spot, but this...
Ray Roos?
What?
Jordan Oliver.
Jordan Oliver, not in your top 10 this week.
Richard Holiday, we said that.
Yeah. You already said his name. One of you did.
L.A. Park. Gino Medina.
No.
Dominic Greeny.
Correct. Ding.
fucking Brain Jr. is your fucking number 10. Matt, they're going after the tag titles now, him and Filthy Tom.
I saw him and Filthy Tom are a tag team, and they're going after the Von Erichs.
What did you think of... Oh, by the way, real quick, Joseph Samael, again, they're preparing for war. I don't know about you, bro. I'm fucking kind of tired of fucking Contra. They do nothing. They do absolutely nothing. It's like, we're hiding in the Himalayas. Who gives a fuck? I don't care.
Why would you tell me where you're hiding?
So that's what they're saying. They have people everywhere. They said, we're in the Himalayas and we're in the fucking mountains and blah, blah, blah. And the other thing is, didn't they fucking kidnap one of the Asian guys from fucking OWE? Where's he been?
He's back.
Kidnapped.
He's still in a body bag somewhere.
They just put him in a body bag.
So in a rare display of Conan being nice to Injustice, he gave him a fucking Trios title match for next week. And I really have no idea who the Trios are.
Also, said you can't keep my name out of your mouth like you do with dicks or something stupid like that.
It's fucking stupid. But at least we're going to get a six-man Trios title match for the... For the guys who are suspended, by the way, so whatever. Oh, let me see. Whatever.
So wait, Conan's got the book? He's got the pencil?
No, but, you know, he's the fucking...
He's got a stupid storyline with Injustice, where they're disrespecting him.
What'd you think of Hammerstone and Laredo Kid?
I thought it was a really good match, actually. I also thought the brawl with Mance Warner was really good.
I didn't really like that. It was a lot of fucking disjointed nonsense, dude. Dude, a lot of times they're showing Savio Vega. He's just standing around choking one of the fucking guys, like, and nothing's going on. He's looking over his shoulder.
What do you want him to do? He's like 100 years old, man.
Yeah, but there's no need for that match to go like fucking like 18 minutes or whatever the fuck it was.
All right, I'll give you that.
I mean,
I liked the Hammerstone Laredo Kid match.
I really liked it. I thought it was cool. Like, you know, like even when they did the spot where they thought Laredo Kid might win, even though the referee was knocked out. So good shit, man. Good shit. And they're fucking moving toward Mance Warner and Hammerstone for the title. So I'm happy with that. Good for Mance, you know.
I do know Court Bauer came out and said they will not promote any live events after these tapings.
Well, they still have another couple of weeks they're probably going to stretch out with AAA in Mexico, so who knows.
And I think they got a deal with BN Sports where every night they're showing old episodes of MLW.
Well, that's cool. You know, I was actually starting to...
I've read that too.
I saw some of their old catalog on YouTube. I may actually start with the beginning of Fusion one day, you know, just to see how things have progressed since they returned, like, what, 2 years ago now?
Yeah, he said that they're going to digitize 2002 to 2004.
That's pretty cool.
Which was the first run, and he said they have up to a year's worth of stuff that they could just air on BN Sports. So
I hope it's more of the fucking Los Parks cooking. And people love, dude, they fucking Louis Ramos that shit on Facebook, on YouTube as well. That shit got a big fucking positive reaction. I was like, I don't fucking get it. I just didn't get it.
Well, what are you going to do?
I don't know. Well, that's my coverage of the fucking MLW.
MLW staying alive and kicking. Ring of Honor's doing some interesting stuff, too.
What do they got going on?
They're doing, their weekly shows are... spotlights on their talent. So like the first week it was just all Briscoe stuff. They did one on Jay Lethal. They're adding stuff to Honor Club, like the early stuff, like the first year of Ring of Honor. They put all the shows up on there.
Well, that's in your wheelhouse, because you were the one saying that they should start doing some shit with the Honor Club, and you're getting your wish.
Oh yeah. And then last night on YouTube they released the Raven CM Punk dog collar match from way back in the day, which is fucking awesome. You should definitely check it out. And I think they did a watch along with Jay Lethal where he watched when he won his first title. I got to sneeze.
Was he part of Special K at that point?
I know he beat John Walters for it. I just don't. He might have been out by then.
Wait, John Walters, the actor?
No.
I know. I want him to sneeze on the mic. That's why I keep trying to get him to answer questions.
No. So they're kind of they're staying afloat, but yeah, it's a rough time for everybody, man. It's a rough time. New Japan is on, the whole country's on lockdown, so they had to cancel more shows.
Did you read? I saw a headline. I didn't read it though. Like the owner of New Japan released a letter, an open letter to the fans today.
I haven't seen that yet.
Let me take a look.
I know that they were against doing the empty arena matches, but now that the cases have spiked again in Japan, they're kind of toying with the idea of doing empty arena matches just to do something. But that won't be until at least May, because I think the whole country's on lockdown.
Yeah, it kind of seems that way.
And they're a little better at listening to the government than the American people are.
You think?
Oh, I know so. They closed the Patriots path over here by me. No more people in the park.
Yeah.
It took less than a day for someone to rip down the caution tape.
Well, of course. Of course. Fucking animals. Gorillas. That's what they are. You got to take a walk. Take a walk around your fucking neighborhood. You know?
That's what I did last week.
That's what me and the kid have been doing like every day. We go for like a half an hour, 40 minutes, just walking around the neighborhood. You know what we do? We actually make a game out of it. Where, like, we'll turn a corner, and if somebody's coming the other way, we'll cross the street. And if somebody's coming the other way, we'll go down another street. Just as a fucking goof. Like, we're like, we got to stay away from everyone, you know?
You got to. And you know what else you got to do, Tony?
What's that?
You got to support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
Of course we do.
As little as $1 a month. That's
wait,
it.
Wait, wait. $1?
That's it, one.
You're out of your fucking mind. How else can you get all these great things for just $1? I don't understand.
all it costs, $1 a month. And we will mention you as a producer. You just head over to our Patreon, patreon.com/wizardspodcast. $3 a month, we mention you and you get our watch along. Tony watched the whole episode of Saturday night's main event last week.
Sure did. It was fucking amazing. Have you listened to it yet? Fucking good.
I haven't
show.
Had a chance yet.
All right. Well, you're
not gonna
to
lie
it.
To you. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm saving it for a special occasion. Ooh. And with these as you support us, the more you donate, the more we give back. Starting at a dollar, we mention you and you get a code for Pro Wrestling Tees where you save instantly 10% on our merchandise.
That's right.
Just for a dollar.
$1.
So we're going to take this time to thank those that support us over at the patreon.com/wizardspodcast. Of course, the queen of the Shining Wizards, Kathy Hummer, the king of the Shining Wizards, Mr. Manny Krakzo, AOP, and members of D-Generation Y, Danny and Anthony Rusinello, Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com. That's ELEMENTARY.com. If you're looking for some local brew, I know you can order it online. So head over there and support Ryan and all the folks over at Elementary. Sean Toe and Sean Calejo. The only reason we lump them together is because their names are Sean.
But how cool is that? Like, they have a brotherhood that they support us and their names are the same. That's so fucking awesome.
As discussed last week on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, Brett Simonella.
What do you hear? What do you say?
Thank you. Kate the Great Hensler over at OnDeckIC.com. Get well soon, Kate.
You got shit to promote? Kate, your lady.
Matt Grifo, no relationship to the KJG. Christine Friesendorf, the other half of the Sign Girls, who, if you're not familiar with, is Kathy Hummer. I don't know if we've ever really mentioned that. And for the new listeners, go back in our archives. There's a couple episodes with the Sign Girls in studio with us. It's very entertaining. Kareen Jansen, she's the spicy chick who is always on the internet putting her shit out there. She likes to support us.
Oh, boy.
The both of you guys. I don't know. Mark Parloni, he likes to tag us and shit on Twitter that I have no interest in.
Wow, I have interest. Support. Keep on tagging me.
Kenny Hossie, Scotch Drinkmore. He's a real piece of shit, but you should follow him at Scotch Drinkmore because he's very opinionated and he's a piece of shit. And I had to force him to join our Patreon because he wanted me to do something and I wouldn't do
it. Wow.
Signed up for Patreon.
I don't even dislike him that much.
Matt's a fucking bully.
I don't dislike him. I'm just facts are facts. All right. J Cop, big cop of pump from the fucking jerk off turnbuckle throwbacks.
Yeah, fuck
I said,
those
oh,
guys.
I'll support you guys if you support us. So I support the turnbuckle throwbacks, but only Jay supports us. So we know where our allegiance is over there. Choppy still has no fucking socks, and Phil is miserable with his life. they do a show every Friday night on The Rant. So check them out at 9 o'clock. They actually had an awesome show this week where they talked about Dr. Death, Steve Williams, and the Brawl for All, and some other things. So it's definitely worth checking out as much as I like to bust his ball. Thomas Koff, the Moot Spock?
Mott Spock, and I think you missed Matt Mellinger too, you dickhead.
I have him right here.
I know you have him. You went from Matt Garifo to Christine.
Yeah, why does it have to be in order, man? Change it up.
Oh, did you really forget or did you not forget?
It's right here.
All right, well, there you go.
Well, it's Matt Mellinger. Thanks, Tony, you fucking dick.
Hey, no problem.
We got some new Patreons. We got some new Patreons.
Yes, we do.
Mr. Michael Hammond.
Yes, hi, Mike.
And Mr. David Henry Bauer III.
That's a hell of a Ooh. Name. That's a fucking heel right there.
A fancy name right there. Oh. So welcome. Thank you guys for supporting the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. And of course, last but certainly not least.
No, definitely least.
Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, Kevin. And then we have the shows on the network, right, Tony? You want to promote them? Maybe you could cheaply plug them like KP Burke plugs his shit on every Shining Wizards post that's on Facebook, but he doesn't have a fucking dollar or 2 minutes to send us a new fucking commercial.
He never sent us an old commercial, dude, so we
I'll
know what
fucking call motherfuckers out.
Good. Call them all out, dude. People that we actually want to fucking thank right away. Matt already mentioned them. Turnbuckle throwbacks.
Single barrel jack, bitches.
You're fucking hypnotizing me.
I'm only busting everybody's balls. I really don't give a shit.
Turnbuckle Throwbacks, as Matt mentioned, they are our buddies on the Rant, Rantium Radio, of course, every Friday night. Inconclusive Breakdown, your weekly pop culture, political talk, anything that you could fucking want to imagine. Those guys, great, they got you covered. Our boys to the north at Radioactive Metal. You want your metal fix? Check out Snowy and the guys on Friday mornings. High Spot Podcast, when those guys get around to it, the Jersey Wrecking Crew, they got some great shit. Matt's going to shit on them right now.
Still have a show. guys, you still do a show?
Yeah, they do. They're quarantined, dude. Not everybody has the technology. We do, I guess.
All right, well, Kevin thinks they're number one, so I can respect that.
Number one with a bullet. Somebody who keeps giving us content, Natty Bumper Car with the Bumper Podcast. He's coming every week. Somebody who hasn't been putting out new content.
I hear he's not funny.
I enjoy it. Maybe Kevin doesn't.
He's got. I love the guy. He's got.
He also shared a picture of a guy jerking off before, so that tells you where your levels of humor are.
I love it.
He's got a direct weird sense of humor that you have to either like it or you don't. That's it.
Well, the other guy that doesn't like it is KP Burke. His show is American Loser, and we got a new show, by the way. Something that Snowy from Radioactive Metal and his boys are trying out. It's called Wrestling Night in Canada. They dropped their debut episode last week. Check those guys out. It was actually pretty funny.
Is it good? Did you listen to it?
I listened to it. It was more of an intro, and they were doing their Mount Rushmores, but it wasn't your typical Mount Rushmore answers.
How are they going to do a Mount Rushmore in Canada?
I don't know. Mount Quebec?
Come on. Stay in your lane, Snowy.
Yeah, what the fuck, dude?
I'll tell you what. You know what? I want to give Snowy credit as much as I bust his balls. I put up a topic on Facebook, top five heel turns of all time, and you got your normal answers. Bro, Snowy dug deep.
Yeah, he does, dude. He knows a lot of shit about deep. Wrestling.
Are we saving that? Or do you want to? Can you mention that now?
No, we can do it. Let me pull it up. I didn't have it ready, but yes, I wanted to give him credit. He really dug deep.
Now I'm intrigued.
Give me a minute to find it. I'm sorry.
I mean, to me, if you want to dive into this whole topic right now, to me, it's Hulk Hogan, NWO, Shawn Michaels on Jannetty, and then three others.
Hulk Hogan.
That's it to me. I mean, or the number one of all time is Hogan joining the NWO. And to me, then it's four others, even though I think Shawn Michaels on Jannetty is very, very close.
Okay, so these were Snowy's. Barry Windham joining the Horsemen.
That's a good one.
Ooh.
Kurt Hennig, AWA title chase turn.
Oh, my God.
Right?
Okay.
Terry Taylor turning on Chris Adams in the UWF.
Really?
What the fuck is Snowy watching?
Tommy Rich under the ring for the Lawler-Austin cage match. Idol.
Dude, that caused some riots. That was a hair match, wasn't it? I think it was.
And the Hogan NWO turn.
All right.
That's some quality beef.
Snowy, I apologize. You know your lane. Stay in it. Wow.
Yeah, he went real deep. Well, I got to give credit to the professor because he likes to send me endless amounts of text messages, but he gave me a top 10 of his favorite heel turns, and that's what inspired the post. And back to Kevin's points, NWO Hogan turn, definitely. Jannetty, Shawn Michaels is on there. For those of you old enough to remember, Andre on Hogan was huge.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
I'm here for one reason, to challenge you to a championship match in a WrestleMania.
And everything about that, the, you know, unintentionally ripping when he went to rip off the cross and his fingernail.
Bobby Heenan out of nowhere.
And Piper's there, who was like Hogan's fucking nemesis for years. Like, it was just a perfect storm. That was mentioned. The Festival of Friendship, which is recent. People brought that up.
Dude, Freebirds and the Von Erichs. The head slam and the cage match for the title.
Yeah. I mean, but you have to remember where, you know, like, it came up in conversation. Like, the professor was like, oh, Zabisco on Bruno.
That was a big one.
Of course, it was a big one, but that's not in my like. I have zero recollection. Like, I go back and watch it, but I didn't live it, so I don't feel like I can put that in my top five.
Orndorff turning on Hogan. That was a huge one when we were at least when I was a kid. You guys might have been fucking babies at that point, but Christ, when I was a kid and I saw that, I was like, he turned on his fucking best friend, and then I was like, well, you fucking never called him back.
Owen on Brett?
That's when I kicked your leg out from your leg.
Let's see what. There's a couple Evolution ones in there.
Oh, and they fucking gave Randy Orton a thumbs down.
Yep,
that was pretty big.
Let's see. Let's see. Kevin Owens debut. What's up, Kev? I can't hear you.
He's not talking.
No, his mouth is moving.
He's probably muted us.
Kevin Owens debuting at NXT and then attacking Sami Zayn.
My mic was off. Sorry. The Shawn Michaels on Hogan.
Yep, that was a lot mentioned in here.
Kev, I'm sorry. Just watching you talk and there was nothing coming out of your mouth was pretty fucking funny. And now he's gone.
The Road Warriors on Dusty.
Oh, with the spike? That fucking got them thrown off of... Oh, that got Dusty fired, didn't it?
Yeah. Francine on the Pitbulls, just because I'm an ECW guy.
All right, fair enough. When she took, didn't she take her panties off and she had the franchise written on them or some shit? Yeah. There you go. She
the powder in Pitbull 2's face.
Yes, and then she got powerbombed through a table for her trouble, didn't she? Yep.
For me, Sid on Hogan is always something that I really enjoyed.
Really? More than Savage finally turning on Hogan?
No, because you kind of could see where it was going.
It was still pretty sad, you know? Like, you would think that they would work it out, but then when he started pointing at fucking Hogan saying, you got lust in your eyes, and you didn't come at me like a man.
Bob Backlund snapping on Bret Hart.
That's an underrated one.
Some people put up their Bully Ray joining Aces and Eights.
Yeah, I'm not in my wheelhouse.
Triple H leaving DX for the corporation. Look, everyone's different, man.
No, I hear you.
Stone Cold on the Rock when he joined Austin at 17.
Oh, when he joined McMahon? Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm sorry, McMahon.
I could take or leave that one. We watched it a couple weeks ago. I really didn't. I don't think a lot of people bought it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was just weird.
Someone put in Hardcore Holly on Cody.
I thought Cody turned on Hardcore Holly, no?
If I find it here.
Maybe he didn't. I remember somebody turned on somebody during that thing.
Tomasa with the DIY breakup. Jake on the Ultimate Warrior.
That was when he was saying, that's where he came up with Trust Me, didn't he?
Yes, I believe so.
Yeah. Wow, this was a hell of a fucking topic.
Oh yeah, it got huge, huge conversation pieces. And then it got me thinking, like, I couldn't think of any ECW turns that really like stuck with me. Like Francine was like the best I could do. Maybe Bam Bam coming out when Rick Rude found a challenger for Shane Douglas when he was part of the Triple Threat.
Yeah, but then he was still, yeah. But then
he ended up back in the Triple Threat, right?
Yeah, and then that was when he went after the TV title with Taz. I don't know. I mean, Taz sort of went a little babyface, but he really didn't switch over. But that's, I don't know, man. Shane Douglas throwing down the belt? I don't know.
Yeah, but he was already a heel, no?
But he shit on Dennis Corluzzo. I don't know. Like ECW turned on the NWA.
Sabu joining RVD in his crusade against ECW? Does that fall in there?
Yeah, because they had that whole respect thing going for a long time. I mean, people turned heel, but they didn't really turn against anybody. Like, Jerry Lynn turned heel, but... I mean, that was the fucking dying days of ECW, too. No, you're right. Francine's probably... Nothing with the Dudleys? Maybe D-Von? Maybe Bubba Ray turning on the rest of the family and joining D-Von?
Yeah, but then it seemed like Big Dick was always with them. Yeah. So he didn't turn on Big Dick. He turned on like fucking
Dances with Dudley.
Dances with Dudley and all those other fucking dumb Dudleys. Sign guy was always with them. Like, dude, we have a Google Home? Google Chrome?
No, Google Chrome's the browser. Google Home is probably a chat, maybe.
Chromecast?
Oh, you the Chromecast, the device. Okay, I got
it. They have one of those at work. So I fucking grabbed it, and I was like, I told my boss, I'm like, bro, I can't watch. ESPN does the same shit every day. I'm like, I'm going to hook this up, but I'm going to just play fucking everything from the network.
So what have you been watching?
So last weekend during WrestleMania, I watched Mania's 5 through 11.
Jesus.
Well, I'm there. I'm there from fucking 11:30 in the morning to 7:30 at night. So I just let it fucking play. And the fucking kitchen guys love it.
Of course they do.
They're all into it. And I sprinkled in a little like 92 SummerSlam. And then I went down a WCW Saturday Night main event hole where one of the job matches featured a very young Mustafa Saeed.
Oh, God.
And that was kind of towards the end of 92, which is a great time because Barry Windham turns on Dustin Rhodes and it's fucking awesome. And Steamboat and Shane Douglas are the tag champs, like, and Windham and Pillman go after the titles. It's fucking great shit. And then I, yesterday was I there? Saturday. It was an ECW day. I went to like the end of ECW. I had to see what the fuck was going on.
I started watching that too. I want to say 6 months ago, I was on a thing with that. That was like Christian York and Joey Matthews and.
What were they, the Dups or the Dicks or what were they called?
Maybe it was the Dups. I don't remember. I just remember it was an awful lot of like
the
just
Dups.
Like just local guys that they were bringing in for stuff. It was fucking. It didn't even feel like ECW. Like I think. Were they paying off Francine? Somebody was blowing people in the parking lot. Somebody was blowing Just Incredible. Like, it was just really weird shit. I know by your eyes you have no idea what I'm talking about. Trust me, it happened. Somebody was getting blown. Oh, no. Francine was looking for Just Incredible, and Just Incredible was out there with, I want to say Missy, but I don't think it was Missy Hyatt. I think it was some other woman talent.
Was it Elektra?
It was just, maybe, it was just really weird shit. Was that when Blue Meanie was the blue boy? Maybe it was around that time?
Maybe. I watched where it was Raven had just come back and him and Dreamer were tag champions and they were feuding with the Impact Players.
One of my favorite moments.
And Mike Awesome had beat Masada Tanaka for the title at like a house show in like Rochester, New York.
Oh, so that was before Taz came back then.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All
like,
right.
Like 99?
99, 2000, around that time?
Right,
yeah,
right in that wheelhouse. It was like Doring and Roadkill against the Dups, against Chetty?
Chetty and Nova.
Cash, maybe?
It was probably Nova. Weren't they a team at the time?
Oh, yeah. Or maybe it was Nova and Cash. It was some weird like three-way tag match, and I actually watched the episode twice before I was like, I already fucking watched this. And I put on November to Remember 98.
Who was Chetty's partner? Was it Nova? Was it Cat?
He was with Nova for a while. That was when Nova used to dress up like Black Spider-Man. Remember he used to have like the black outfit? Or whatever the fuck superhero he was going for.
Speaking of ECW.
Oh, is it coming back?
Today's the 23-year anniversary of the first ECW pay-per-view.
Really?
I watched that today again.
Barely Legal, 1997, April 13th.
I enjoyed the shit out of the show, to be honest with you. I really liked it.
It's really good. And Matt, I actually owe you an apology.
Uh-oh.
I never underappreciated them. I never devalued them. But man, the Eliminators were so much better than I gave them credit for.
Oh, stop, Kevin! Don't go and don't get on that bandwagon.
First of all, Tony, shut your fucking mouth,
dude. It took them 20 minutes to set up total elimination. It's not exactly a move that you could do anytime, anywhere. Hey,
dude, it just brought seeing them again for the first time in a while. Just brought back like how much like oh man, what a good seeing John Cronus with a 450. A guy like that's awesome.
And he got the fucking short end of the stick when Saturn got hurt and then he fucking left and they stuck him with fucking New Jack. The Gangsternators. Go fuck your hand.
Hey, at least they got something for the fucking guy to do. They could have just cut him loose or they could have made him fucking job to Hack Myers. I mean, there was worse things in the world than having a tag title run with New Jack.
Well, yeah, wasn't that when Saturn went to WCW?
Well, so Saturn was hurt.
He blew his knee out. I was actually at the show. It was a house show in Trenton, the one where I sent that stupid picture of me and New Jack.
That's a good picture.
He blew his knee out doing like a fucking elbow drop off the top rope. And then the next night they did the TV tapings in Philly where they took the titles off of him. And then he was gone. He got hurt. He was out. Then he ended up in WCW.
There were two things I remember him for, like as huge, big-time ECW spots. He was involved, and I didn't see this one live. I wasn't there. But when Taz wrestled Paul Varlins when he was in Ultimate Fighting, and Paul Varlins had turned around while the referee was distracted, and Perry Saturn came off the top and fucking kicked his head off. And then Taz had a legit, like, power him over for the for a suplex to pin him. Because Varlins was, like, knocked, like, silly. And then the other time was I was at the ECW Arena. It was the High Incident show with Tommy Dreamer and Brian Lee on that little shitty scaffold they had up there. And Perry Saturn climbed up to the top of the scaffold and he dropped a fucking elbow. Yeah, who was that on? Was that against the Gangsters? I don't remember who that match was against. I just remember him. I'm like, no fucking way he's going to jump off this fucking thing. And he fucking did it. And it was sick. It was absolutely sick.
I'll tell you right now who was. My favorite is him, the promo. Doc and Gordy.
Yeah.
Doc and Gordy.
I got a picture with Bam Bam when he was outside from the main doors waiting to make his debut when Doc was announcing that his partner was there.
High Incident was Doc and Gordy.
Wow, that's right. That was that one. And I was there the show before when Doc made his debut. Or maybe it was. No, it definitely wasn't that show. But he had come out during one of the times that I was there. And he was outside. I fucking ran outside to get a picture with him.
God, I remember this. Fucking Van Damme and Sabu against Furnace and LaFon.
Yep.
What a fucking show.
I got to pull some of that shit out of the attic. I got like old photo albums and old like ticket stubs and stuff. I got to get that. I got to get that collection out. We got to go through that.
I was seriously heartbroken that I couldn't get Barely Legal.
Wait, you didn't come over my place to watch it? I have a feeling that we watched it at my house.
What, the night it aired?
Yeah.
I did not watch Barely Legal at your house.
Oh, no, because we really didn't know each other at that point. That's right. It would be another couple of years before we met each other. I forgot. It feels like I've fucking known you forever.
Yeah, before you started ruining DVDs and pay-per-views. Yeah, it was a while.
Oh, fuck off. You love that shit. Don't fucking pretend like you don't. And if you want to hear it, join us on Patreon. Get on that fucking that jobber level, whatever the fuck it's called. I forget offhand. And you can check me out watching Saturday Night's Main Event with Hulk Hogan and Paul Orndorff in the steel cage with that crooked fucking referee Danny Davis getting involved. You want to check that out? That's a fucking good show.
Kev, what was your biggest takeaway from the Barely Legal this afternoon that you watched?
Well, the first one was that I totally forgot that there was a BWO Japan. That was Kai and Tai, Taka Michinoku, Togo, and Mens Teo, who they called Terry Boy, because I guess he was a big Terry Funk guy. That was the big takeaway. The Eliminators, then remembering that Lance Storm was making his pay-per-view debut on that show, the Chris Candido promo, which Chris Candido is an absolute legend, and just the whole story of Terry Funk's comeback and then this is also the one where Pitbull and them came out to avenge Gary Wolf and that TV title match with Shane Douglas, just so much good stuff. And it's also on an ECW tangent. This is actually 4 years to the day that Balls Mahoney passed away. So RIP Balls. But dude, Barely Legal is such a I forgot how much I've always loved ECW, but not as much as you, Matt, or maybe even you, Tony. But going back and watching this, I'm like, wow, I got to start watching, because it was their first pay per view. Joel Gertner is just so good.
Yeah,
like when he came out and interrupted the promo for the opening for Joey Styles. Joel Gertner was. I'm surprised he should have been a much bigger star, whether it was in WWE, whether it was somewhere else. He should have been more.
That build, if you go back and watch that build,
Taz Sabu too, duh.
Yeah, well, as like a 16-year-old kid, I would have put the fucking farm on fucking Stevie Richards, man.
Cool.
Holy shit, man.
I felt the same way, dude. Like, I really thought, like, you know, had it not been that it was Terry Funk's, you know, quote-unquote time, I was like, you know what? Fucking Stevie Richards could fucking pull this thing off. It would be so awesome if he won the championship. It all fit. Every single one of those guys had a fucking story with Raven, and that's what made it so fucking great.
Yeah, and watching back, I actually kind of forgot that this was BWO era. I thought this was still, you know, Stevie Richards era, like Raven-ish era. I realized, like, oh my God, this is BWO stuff. This is awesome.
It's fucking fantastic stuff. Just go back and watch that, like, 96 to, I mean, go back to, like, 94, 95 with, like, the Eddie Guerrero and the Dean Malenko stuff. But, man, up until, shit. 98 once they started plucking guys, I mean, it kind of took a hit, but fuck, man, that's some of the fucking best stuff. And you, like, you really, like, if you watch WCW in like 1999, like, you just can't appreciate, even WWF in 95, you can't appreciate Chris Candido. You, if you didn't see him in ECW or when he was on the Independence or even Smoky Mountain, and he got a fucking shit, like, I get it, man. You get a WWE contract, you're on fucking nationally televised TV. Like, man, he did not get his due in WWF or WCW. ECW was like, he was the fucking, that's like, that's the Chris Candido you want to watch. Same thing with Al Snow. I was watching November to Remember 98, man, and there was just a promo with him in the back. And, like, it's in the locker room, and, like, Meanie's there getting changed, and Nova's there, and he's just talking to the head.
I remember that promo.
The head on the, yeah.
And Tony, we were fucking there. We yep. were at that Living Dangerously. Like, I don't think I've ever been a part of something like that.
It was fuck. It was wild with the fucking, with the strobe lights, with the smoke, with all the fucking heads bobbing up and down. It was fucking great, dude. It was so great. It's, you know what? And Al Snow went on to have a pretty good career in WWE, but he should have been so much bigger than what he was in WWE. He really should have.
I really thought he should have won the title from Shane Douglas.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk of that for some reason. I remember seeing people bring that up lately about how Al Snow should have, I don't know if it was on a podcast or what, that Al Snow should have, because he was just so over and so hot that if anyone was going to do it, it was going to be Al Snow.
You know what, though? Maybe they reached that point where, like, you know, seeing how hot he was, that WWE was plucking him at that point anyway.
Oh, okay.
It wouldn't have made sense for him to win. You know what, though? If you think about it, though, if he wins the title, what do you do with him then? You know what I'm saying? I think it built up perfectly. He had his title match. He lost. He moved on to WWE, and it's the next chapter for Shane. Who's next?
Yeah, but who's next for Shane was Taz, and Taz choked out Shane. Now, what better story is it that the dude that was Leaf Cassidy in WWF gets sent down to ECW. He gets booed out of the building because he comes out in his rocker garb. Comes back as Al Snow. He's got the head, but then he's the champ. And who fucking chokes him out and sends him packing to WWF? Taz. And there's no – I put it on Twitter the other day. Man, 96 to 98. There's no badder motherfucker than Taz, man.
No, he really the fucking great thing about Taz was he believed his own hype. Like, he really fucking felt like he lived the gimmick. I know they say that sometimes with people, but he fucking lived the gimmick.
Man, when you fucking watch it, when you watch just how fucking intense he was, November to Remember 98, I think it was when they put the pit bulls with, like, Lance Wright and Baracus. And he wrestled fucking Pitbull number two. Dude, he was so fucking intense. And the match, maybe 3 minutes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
But it was, the place went fucking nuts. And because they did that show in Pittsburgh, it's just, it shows you the sheer, you can't appreciate it now. But man, go back and watch that in 98. They take the title off Douglas and Queens. They have Bam Bam beat him. And then they give Shane the title back at November to Remember 98 in his backyard. That fucking place, everyone in the crowd was wearing yellow, and they fucking popped when he belly-to-bellied him through the fucking makeshift table. It's fucking awesome.
Matt, going back to Barely Legal 97 and the end of the match when Raven takes on Terry Funk and the original Raven's Nest, who were some of the people, because they kept mentioning a Reggie somebody, but it looked like a woman to me. Who was in the original Raven's Nest?
Well, go ahead.
She was a woman.
Yeah, Reggie Bennett was a woman. No, well, originally the Nest was just really Stevie Richards, you know, and Beulah was part of it. But then when it came to November Barely Legal, there was Lupus, who was a local indie guy from the area. He was the guy that
right.
He's the guy that wore like the fucking hat with the ear flaps, and he would pick his nose. He would come out with the blow up doll, and then Reggie Bennett. She was supposed to be a big thing, but who the fuck was she power bombing? Was it Stevie Richards, and she fucking fell over and all that shit?
No, Terry Funk. I think it was Terry Funk.
Yeah, it was. She fucked it all up, dude. Like, but yeah, she was supposed to be part of it as well. I'm trying to think if Lori Fullington was part of it for a while. And they Mona brought
was there.
I think she was out there for that.
They brought the Sandman's kid out for a while, little Tyler.
Yep.
And
so Reggie Bennett did nothing else but that in wrestling.
No, I think Reggie Bennett was a woman's wrestler at that point. Like, she had been around for a few years, but other than that, didn't really hear. You know who we don't fucking hear from? Matt, this is a fucking throwback. I don't remember the dude's name, but he was a big fat dude. He was wearing, I want to say it was almost like a tracksuit, and he was supposed to be involved with Raven or some shit. And he jumped
Dick
off.
Grimes?
No. He jumped off the top rope, and he landed on his feet, and he snapped his femur, and you just fucking heard the snap, and he just hit the canvas, and he never got up again. Oh, I can't think of his fucking name, and I just remember hearing, like, you can hear the crack when he comes off the top. He was involved with the Flock as well, I'm pretty sure. I gotta fucking Google this now.
A big guy?
Yes, huge guy.
Like a fat guy or big or giant guy?
No, fat guy.
Reggie Bennett was only involved in that match. She was one of the speakers the night before at Terry Funk's banquet. And then she was involved in that match, and that was it. That was her ECW tenure. She worked a lot of All Japan women's wrestling in 94 to 96. And then she did a couple things on the independent scene. And that's it. That was her whole – she did some MMA too.
They
hyped it up like it was a big deal. Like, that's Reggie Bennett. Like –
Well, I mean, you gotta remember who you're catering to, too, though. They were catering to the ECW fans. These are the same people that went out of their way to figure out that they found out the name of Mick Foley's son, and they had a fucking Kane Dewey sign. Like, these were, like, the fucking – this was, like, Meltzer's disciples in, like, 94, 95, 96, like – these were the fans they were catering to. So Paulie did shit like that. He brought in the Reggie Bennetts. He brought in the Johnny Smiths, the Cody Michaels, these lesser known guys who had names, you know, that they built in maybe Japan or elsewhere. Yeah. I talked about it Wednesday night with the D-Generation Y, like Bart Gunn, when he fucking, after he Brawl for All, dude, he went on and had a super successful run in Japan in tag
Absolutely.
With Johnny Ace, and you'll never guess who his other tag team partner was.
I should know this because he was in my stable in Virtual Pro Wrestling too. I'm not going to guess now.
He was a WCW jobber. And he worked ECW.
Jerry Flynn.
Jungle Jim Steele.
Oh, that's right. Yes. I heard that recently.
And apparently fucking Bart Gunn got to the finals of the Carnival, the champion of carnivals, and he lost to Muda in like 2001.
And then Impact Wrestling's Instagram puts something up where he matched TNA with Perry Saturn, and he was completely busted open. I have to go back and watch that from TNA's original days. And yeah, he had a great career outside WWE for sure.
It's fucking crazy. Tony, did you find what you were looking for?
Yes. His name was Kareem.
That's it?
Kareem Horton, the night I snapped my leg.
From,
ECW
from Radioactive
Arena.
Metal?
No, he was a fat dude. You got to punch up Kareem. Yeah, here's the video. Kareem, on September 14th, 1996, Raven was set to defend his championship against Pitbull number 2. The YouTube's going to come. Okay, video's unavailable. Fuck, I can't even read the caption. The caption kind of cuts off here. Son of a bitch. But yeah, his name was Kareem. Yeah, he was ready to jump off the top. He was involved with Raven. And when he came off, he landed like he pretty much did a Sid. He fucking landed on his feet and you heard the snap and he went down. It was pretty fucking bad.
And Tony, Lupus was in that tag team, that New Jersey tag team, the Misfits with Derek Domino, wasn't he?
No, yeah, he was part of it, but it was Derek. It was Domino. Oh, fuck. Now I got to look this up. NWA.
Eric Domino and something else. We got to. You want to do a real fucking watch along? We got to find that show.
Which one?
The Holiday Inn show where we were all at?
Yes. Yes.
That would be a fucking hootenanny.
Yeah, it was. Oh, fuck. The fucking WCW Misfits are coming up. The fucking band.
It was Derek Darling, maybe? Something Darling?
No, that's Ace Darling you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Yeah, here. The Misfits were Charming Charles. This is the NWA main event. I gotta see. Maybe this is it. I gotta find out. Oh, fuck.
Charming Charles.
Lupus was definitely part of the crew, but it was Derek.
Was it Twiggy? Was Twiggy in there?
No, Twiggy was not part of the Misfits.
But Harley Lewis.
Harley Lewis was the other one. Yes, Derek Dukes and Harley Lewis.
Derek Domino.
And Harley Lewis.
And Lupus.
And Lupus was the third guy, but it was always Harley and Lupus that were the tag champs. I saw them on some fucking show in Little Ferry. Fuck. Was it Teterboro? Some random fucking school in Teterboro. Devin Storm and Ace Darling wrestled the Misfits for the NWA tag belts or the NWA North tag belts or some shit like that.
That's fantastic.
It was fucking great. It was a great show.
I would argue that there was no better independent scene than New Jersey in the late 90s.
Oh, fuck. Maybe this is it. I think I found the card. Oh, Little Ferry, NWA, May 15th, 1998. The Misfits versus Ace Darling and Devin Storm. I think this might have been the show. It's on YouTube. Look at that.
That's fantastic.
Fucking A, dude. But yeah, the guy's name was Kareem. If you get a chance, go fucking watch it. It was some show in 1996. He just fucking lands on his feet and snap, snap, dunzo.
Yuck.
Dunzo.
We got AEW Wednesday night, Tony. Sammy Guevara is going to take on Pineapple Pete.
Yes. Good for him, man. Good for him.
And then Lance Archer, Colt Cabana is happening. The John Moxley, Jake Hager, no empty arena match is happening. So that is your Wednesday night delight on AEW.
Well, there you go.
And you can tune in and listen to myself and D-Generation Y talk about that on the AEW post show taking place every Wednesday night, about 10:15, depends on how long it takes me to set up and if I hit the record button. Did you want to talk about your topic that you brought up the other night that I shit all over?
No, I think we can save it for next week.
You sure? Because I had some time to think about it. I know we lost Kevin.
Oh, he's gone?
He said we could take it home because he's out.
So. All right. All right, then let's hit it for a few minutes real quick.
Let's do it.
I actually was trying to spend some time on it as well, and somebody actually, maybe it was Snowy that brought up the topic when him and his boys were talking on Wrestling Night in Canada. Could somebody pull off a Bruno title run, for lack of a better term? Is there somebody, first of all, would a very long, and I don't mean like a year, I mean like, can somebody run with a championship in this time period in 2020 for several years? No matter the division, no matter, you know, man, woman, tag, whatever. And who would you want to put in that position if it is possible? Like, who could run with something for that long?
Is it more or less who or the promotion that would do that?
Well, I mean, the promotion, too. Like, you could look at it from a bunch of different angles. It's a completely open question. Like, could WWE get away with pulling something like that off? I would think that, you know, like if you look currently at the NWA, who doesn't run, you know, they don't run a lot of shows. And when they do, they run it old school style where they bring in just, you know, a lot of, like, the undercard talent. And they don't really feature Nick Aldis aside from a couple of interviews. And maybe he'll wrestle once in a while. But by and large, you know, he's your world champion. And he doesn't really, he's not getting a lot of exposure, which is kind of what they used to do with like a Hulk Hogan back in the day, where you'd see him periodically on a Saturday show, but he was mostly cutting an interview. And if you really wanted to see him, you'd have to tune into one of the bigger shows like Main Event. Or, you know, maybe catch him at a local arena, like, at your local, like, I don't know, your MSG or your Meadowlands Arena or your Boston Garden or whatever, whatnot. Or if you were privileged enough, you would get one of those local sports channels that would actually broadcast from your local arena. You know, so like, if you look at it from a WWE standpoint these days, I would think it'd be pretty difficult to pull off. But somebody like an NWA would sure as hell have a much easier time to do it. And a matter of fact, you know, they're actually in quite a hell of a run right now with Nick Aldis.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the promotion and the way it's booked. I think your formula that you see on NWA is the perfect formula. I don't think it would ever work in the WWE. You're kind of seeing it. And we go back to Becky Lynch that we talked about earlier. And I know Kevin talked about this when we were talking about this in the text message where I shit all over this idea, Tony.
Yeah, thanks, pal.
I'm not going to lie and pretend like I was like, oh, that's a great fucking topic. Let's talk about it. I'm going to drink this single barrel Jack now, moving up in the world as it gets later, and pretend like I hated the idea. But I don't think WWE can pull it off. I think you've seen them in the past where they do stupid shit like Nikki Bella is going to be the longest reigning Divas champion because AJ Lee holds the record, so we want her to go past it. Demolition was the WWF tag team champions, the longest reigning tag champs, so we're going to push the New Day past them just so Demolition isn't part of that WWE history where they're the number one holders of the title because they're suing us. And the storylines and the writing in WWE, I don't think they could pull it off where, to your point, the NWA, where Nick Aldis, you know he's the NWA world champion, and the way that they book him and the way that you see him on TV is, you know, NWA season 2 is 12 episodes, and you're going to see him in the ring maybe twice, and one of them's going to be a tag match where the title's not on the line, and the other one's going to be, you know, like a match against Ricky Morton where they're furthering that storyline. I think it works only there. I don't think it works in the WWE. And I don't think it only works, I don't think it only works NWA, but I think that formula works better with an NWA, a Ring of Honor, an MLW. I can't say AEW because I don't know what they have there yet, but I don't think it works in the WWE where it's overexposure and there's 7 hours of WWE product every week. Like, people piss and moan because Brock was the champion for so long, but he was never on TV, and that's not going to work in terms of a Bruno-esque run.
Yeah, and I didn't think it would work with WWE or even AEW, but, you know, I tried to think, like, could a Ring of Honor be able to pull something like that off? I think they'd have a more feasible chance to do it because they're not on TV every week and they don't really run. I mean, what's their pay-per-view frequency? Do they run six of them a year? Do they run four a year?
I want to say they do the 18th anniversary show or the, whatever their anniversary show is, the Super Card of Honor, the final battle, and I think they do one in September, Death Before Dishonor, maybe?
Yeah, so I mean, I would think that Ring of Honor, if anybody from, like, a bigger-named organization would be able to pull it off.
I think anything is possible. Now, will it work? I think anything is possible in any company if you commit to the idea. Like, and I'm not saying that they knew that Bruno Sammartino was going to be a 7 or 8 year champion or whatever it was, a combined 11 years. Whatever it was, but right now, if WWE decided, hey, listen, if things are going well in a year, we'll do it more. And then if things are still going well, you'll keep it going until it doesn't work. And I think that it can work if you have the right person. And I think, and this might be naive or ignorant or whatever it is, I think that Becky Lynch is that person that could do it, because it's already been a year. And it still seems fresh to me. She doesn't have to wrestle every week. She doesn't have to put it on the line every month. Well, I actually would have to put it on the line every month because of the pay-per-views. But I don't think it's going to be – I don't think it could ever be easy. And I'm not saying it's likely to ever happen. But if you commit to it and it works well, if someone is still over after – like, CM Punk could have done it to me. Like, I think CM Punk would have been a guy.
Yeah, I mean, he could have. They just had zero faith in him as champion. He rarely main evented a pay-per-view, which was a very unfortunate thing. And I know a lot of people are like, well, you know, just because he doesn't close the pay-per-view doesn't mean he's not the main event. It's kind of bullshit, you know?
Yeah, I mean, we all know that the last match is – I mean, maybe we may not see – we could see, like, six main events on a show, but if you're in the locker room, if you're, like, a wrestler, the last match is the main event. And that's really what you need. But I think Becky Lynch, back to the thing, I think Becky Lynch has a chance. If it works, if it keeps working, like you take it like month by month or, you know, quarter by quarter or year by year. And I think CM Punk could have done it. And I think, who knows if they didn't force John Cena or Roman Reigns down our throat every week, then maybe they could have done it too. John Cena could have done it for all we know.
John Cena, if he would have stood with the Thuganomics for a year or two, I think he would have had a great run as a pseudo heel, like zero fucks given kind of champion, rather than turning him into like the white meat babyface, hustle loyalty, you know, all that nonsense.
Yeah, but this also goes to Matt's point where that there's so much content that it's like you're getting back in like the 70s or the 80s, like a year's worth of content in 2020 is 3 weeks.
Yeah, true. No, so, that's a fair argument. Before,
what do you think about? I'm sorry to cut you off, Tony. No. What do you think about Adam Cole?
That's another good one.
I think he's handsome.
Yeah, but what? He's been NXT champion for. When did he beat Gargano? Last year at WrestleMania? Or was it before that? SummerSlam?
I think it was before that.
So he's been champ for a year and a half?
I'm going to look it up right now. I got
it. But here's the problem. I think the only problem with NXT is that you continuously have to get guys over because you never know how long they're going to be there. So like now, like when is the time do you put the belt on Velveteen Dream? Like he's like the most popular guy that they have arguably as a babyface. So now I could see them putting the belt on Velveteen Dream whenever they meet.
Adam Cole won the championship, June 1st last year. So less than a year.
All right. But he's the longest reigning NXT champion.
Yeah.
He is. I mean, does the Velveteen Dream need a championship, though?
I don't like him anymore.
Depends. It depends on what you want to do with him. Do you think he can make that big of enough splash on the main roster that, you know, let Adam Cole send him off in a losing effort? Then there's the question again, who's next after Velveteen? Is it Gargano again? Is it Killer Cross? Is it Timothy Thatcher coming in? Who is it?
I think Velveteen Dream does need a title, and I think he'd be more successful at the on the main roster than an Adam Cole, because Adam Cole's going to go up there. He's not the biggest guy. He's, you know, you could say Bret Hart size, whatever you want to say about him. But, you know, he fits the NXT model as the face of the company.
Right.
You know, right. He's fucking over his shit. Everyone knows Adam Cole, baby, when he throws them fucking fingers in the air, the crowd goes nuts. So I think in the current state of professional wrestling, you could throw a Nick Aldis and an Adam Cole in there. But are they going to get to Bruno Heights where it's 5, 4 years, 7 years? Probably not. The business has just changed so much. There's just so much wrestling available and people want so much that it's – I don't know if it's possible. I don't think it's possible. I'll say it.
Yeah. That's why I feel like if it ever is going to happen again, it's not going to be a planned design. It's just going to be like I said before, like, oh, she's still getting these reactions after a year. All right, let's keep it going. Wait, it's been 2 years. She's still getting this. Like, it's going to take someone to be as popular as Bruno. And no matter how much we crap on Tony for his love of Bruno, Bruno was the man. He was the man.
I love me some Bruno. You all know that.
Hey. He was the most popular guy. He was the most polarizing figure in New York for a decade, at least.
Hey, Matt.
Yeah, Tony.
If you want to start pulling the train at the station, I actually found the video of Kareem breaking his leg. If you want to.
Oh, did you? Our good friend, True Prince of Pro, also sent us a link on Twitter of the same video I think you have pulled up.
Oh, all right. Maybe it is. I couldn't.
Same exact video.
I got to go back and find the whole match, but let me pop the audio up here and let me see if this will come through. Because, dude, I'm telling you, no joke, it's fucking loud.
Worse than Sid?
Oh, yeah, you hear this one, dude. It's like, remember, did you see the video of the fat chick when she rolled off the apron in Mexico and she snapped her leg? It's like that loud. Oh, it's fucking great. I don't know if you could see it still.
Oh, God.
All right, here. Everybody be quiet. Listen.
I'll see you next time.
Oh, that sucked, dude.
You're currently the owner of...
That wasn't even loud.
Yeah, I couldn't hear it.
I heard it plenty.
Oh, you did hear it. And it wasn't the...
I heard stuff.
It wasn't the femur. It was the tib fib. Oh, fuck. Ooh, me running, all right, dude. All right, you're currently the owner. You saw it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Fuck me running.
Yeah, I saw it. I heard it. God, I look awful.
And the worst part is, dude, like, he couldn't even move. So when Sandman comes out, he just starts hitting him with the cane while he's laying there with a fucking broken leg.
He wasn't one of the headhunters, was
he? No, 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 no. The dude's name is Kareem. He's actually on Facebook. That video that I pulled up was an interview with him. I got to check it out later. But did we touch on our real quick, our Shining Wizards Cup 2020 results? We're down to our final four?
We have not, but we could pull the train to the station with that.
All right, then let's do that then. I mean, right. You know, first of all, watch the video for Matt's in-depth analysis. He posted it up earlier today so we can get a jump on it. And voting for the Final Four starts, what, Wednesday at noon?
Yeah, I'm going to put it up Wednesday. It's going to be Wednesday to Sunday.
That's a long time. Get on that shit. You can vote twice. You can vote once on Twitter and once on Facebook. Make sure.
And look, I'm not against you stealing your son's, your wife's, anyone's phone that has a Facebook account. Get them fucking votes up. If you got a strong feeling towards something, Kevin, if you took your fucking father's Facebook account, if you created a fake one, maybe the Hardy Boys would have made it to the next round, buddy.
I wonder if that's why. No, I did. I used his to vote for sure.
I like it. I fucking like it.
But only for the Hawkins and Ryder ones. Not for
yeah, of course. Ones. Fuck the Hardys.
You got to get all in, bro. Look, I wish I knew 100 people. The Hart Foundation would have beat the fucking the Road Warriors in the Sweet 16.
All right, so what are we down to, Matt?
So we're down to the Dudley Boys. They will be representing the High Voltage region, and they will be taking on the Road Warriors from the Mulkeys region.
Wow, there it is. That's a finals.
That's a finals. That's a Final Four match. And on the right side of the bracket, you have the Steiner Brothers from the Conquistador region taking on Brody and Hansen from the Techno Team 2000 region. They are the 11th seed. They are the Dark Horse. They are the Cinderella team of this tournament since Ryder and Hawkins got eliminated in the Sweet 16. And those are your Final Four. So it's Hansen and Brody against the Steiners, the Dudleys against the Road Warriors. And I will give you a little tidbit. We are working on another tournament. It will be a huge tournament. I am super excited about this because I am more comfortable with the broadcasting system that we're using. So I can think I can make better videos if that's even possible.
Yeah, this one's going to be a barn burner just like the tag one is. And we're actually moving a little more quickly to get it together. So by the time this one wraps up, we can parlay right into the next one. We got to come up with a name for it, too.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how long we're going to be in this fucking lockdown, so we might as well give people something to do.
That's all, and it'll give us something to do, too, so we're not fucking wanting to jump out the windows either.
That's true.
You want to tell people how they can follow us?
You follow us on the Facebook.com/Wizards Podcast, on Twitter, @WizardsPodcast. Instagram @WizardsPodcast. ShiningWizards.com is the website. If you want to check out our archives, we're available on iTunes. We're available on Stitcher. We're available on Spotify. If you want to buy a t-shirt, ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. If you join our Patreon, Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast, as little as $1 a month, you get a 10% code that you can use towards our merchandise on ProWrestlingTees.com. I think I covered all the platforms.
That's it, baby.
Yeah, there was some.
We're not on TikTok.
Oh, if you go to the website now, you could check out our archives of all of our pictures. That's a work in progress as well. We've been posting up photos from like the 8th anniversary show, from stuff that we did on all the conventions. Every time that we went down to Monroe to go do a Legends of the Ring, we're putting up pictures. There's tons of great shit on there. And we all have access to it, so we're all throwing up stuff as we find it in our own archives, in our personal collections. So go check that out over at ShiningWizards.com. Lots of good stuff from your boys.
That's right.
And I will be back Wednesday night with my D-Generation Y crew to talk about AEW Dynamite taking place April 15th. We're going to do a whole little review and talk about whatever else we want to talk about. And hopefully we can get together sometime this week and maybe just do some extra content. I don't care.
Ooh,
talk
some I'm in. Maybe we could do a watch-along all together, the three of us. Maybe we can invite some strangers to watch something along with us.
Stranger danger. I'm in.
You know what? I've been playing around with the Zoom a lot, so maybe we can get something going with that. Have a couple randos just join us and maybe comment along. It's a lot of fun.
I'm in. Let's do it. Pick a night.
All right. Well, that's about it for us.
All right. Well, we are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. If you enjoy what you listen to, give us a like, give us a follow, Facebook, Twitter, at Wizards Podcast. If you really, really enjoy what we're doing and you can afford it, as little as $1 a month, will help support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. If you can't, just retweet, share us on Twitter, Facebook, tell your friends, word of mouth. We're doing this great Shining Wizards Cup. We got something else in the hopper. Every day on Facebook, we're doing these great conversations. We did the top five heel turns. We did our top five IC champions today. We're just trying to give you guys a little distraction, talk a little wrestling, have some fun. Even if it's for 5-10 minutes, just take your mind off of the daily grind and all the shit that's going on in the world. Hopefully you're staying home. You're staying safe. You and your loved ones are safe. You and your loved ones are safe, and you're just, you know, pulling up your fucking bootstraps and getting through this shit.
Yeah, don't hoard toilet paper. Don't hoard fruits and vegetables. Help out your elderly neighbors if they could use a hand, if you could drop off some shit for them. Help everybody out. Don't be a dick. We're all going to get through this. Just fucking be kind and be considerate.
Right, and if you have any old family members or neighbors, I'm offering a service where I will push them down my front steps so we can just put them out of their misery.
He already practiced with his mother-in-law, so...
Not push my fucking mother-in-law down the stairs. Last time you said something like that and I defended her, they heard me downstairs, and then my wife had a million questions. What are you talking about mommy for? So I was defending her honor because Tony is stirring a fucking pot.
Oh, brother. Matt's home family deletion service.com.
I got fucking 25 steps and they're all fucking stone. I'll push you right down those motherfuckers.
Well, say goodnight, Matt.
Oh, you almost did it, you motherfucker. I fucking stabbed the shit. I would fucking drive to North Arlington right now. I don't give a fuck about no curfew. I would fucking stab you in the neck, motherfucker. Don't move me. I see myself.
Oh, I forgot you guys are still on my screen. I got to fucking get rid of this shit. There you go. All right. Good night, everyone.
We'll see you next, you freaks.
Peace.
See ya.
The Nature Boy Ric Flair woo-woo-woos. Woo-woo-woo all over you. You woo-woo-woo in a zoo-zoo-zoo. You woo-woo. You woo woo woo, take a doo doo doo. You woo woo woo, Christian or Jew.